Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
Thank you, Alan Fick. What a gift that was.
And hello.
Well, hello, Mr. Shannon.
Hello. This is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, and I happen to be president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, personal banker to Granny.
I'm the morning zoo keeper. Hey, storekeep, how about some groaners on this Friday getaway day?
Roll 'em.
Who is the happiest singer in rock music?
Who?
John Bon Jovial.
Wow.
Hello.
Groan,
this is
groan,
Scott Shadid.
Groan.
This is Scott Shadid.
I'm Mill Drysdale.
Come on.
I'm Mill Drysdale.
What brand of recliners are most popular with hip-hop stars?
What?
Jay-Z boy.
I'm back. I like that one.
Hello, I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
Heading into your weekend, what does a pimp use to make his crib smell nice?
What?
Potpourri.
Hey now.
No, not yet.
Oh, I like that.
Friday.
Oh.
Friday, right. And the living is easy with Shannon in the morning.
Go for it.
How does William Peterson listen to music? Bless you.
How?
On his CS iPod.
Wow. More. Oh. There's more.
I'm still Scott Shannon.
And I'm Mill Drysdale.
What does a pirate wear on Thursday nights? A CS iPad.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Armani.
Hello, this is still Scott Shadid.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
What grows on the exterior of Marg Helgenberger's house?
What?
C.S. Ivy.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Hey now!
The Don and Mike Show.
God!
Come on!
In here!
Extra groaners today.
That's right, because we care about you.
Everybody.
A Friday. Yeah. That's right, we care about you. Hello, everybody.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We forgot all the hellos.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
John Kerry's still here.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Tony Soprano.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it. How about Jerry?
Hello.
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 I think we're ready. Some rock guys.
On a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
You know what I like?
What?
When Mike says, is that it?
Is that it?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dick, and all the ships at sea. They have a great fan crowd. Dr. Geronimo and Mike.
Show new episode on this Friday.
Friday
1105 04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
That's very retarded. Hi, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode Friday. It is the 5th of November 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America.
Yeah, 877-365-3636.
From Canada. From Mexico. 800-636-1067.
Okay.
Come on, we got a call from Mexico on that line.
One time.
And DC 202-432-1067. Okay, here's where we're at. We could, right now, at the beginning of the show.
The busy Friday show.
Oh, boy. I could tell you how sad I am without power.
Oh, no electricity?
I could tell you how awful sick I am and how that, compounded with the lack of power in my house this morning, nearly drove me crazy. I could tell you about Young, my DirecTV service guy.
Love him. Right.
Or we could talk to Charlene Tilton.
Ah, the big Dallas reunion.
Lucy. Yeah, that's right. And here she is right now. Hello, Charlene.
Howdy.
Hey. Howdy. Howdy. Well, it is nice to have you. And trust me, all of you fans about me bitching about my life, be plenty of time after we talk to Tilton.
Absolutely.
What happened to your power? Did you just forget to pay a bill or something?
No.
Windstorm.
Oh. But listen, enough about me. What about you and this Dallas show? Let me ask you first.
Yeah, what?
Are you going to eat a piece of Larry Hagman's cake?
When he's two,
we have a scoop because I know that Patrick Duffy had said that he will not eat a piece of the cake, and now Charlene, you're on record saying you're not going to eat the cake either. When the time comes, and hopefully it never will come.
No, I would not do that.
You wouldn't do it.
Not even with peanut butter. Not even with cream cheese. I would not do it.
How serious is Hagman about putting himself in a wood chipper and having it turned into weed? I mean,
if you want to walk through it, it's putting himself in a wood chipper, and then he goes out into the field. They grow wheat. They make the cake out of the flour that the wheat. It's quite an elaborate process.
And then his friends eat him a year later. That's what we heard.
You know, with Uncle Larry, anything is possible.
That's a confirmation.
That's why we love him.
Yep. So, and you know, who didn't love Dallas, really, back in the day? And I mean, not only the Who Shot JR, just the whole, every week there was something new. And let me see if my best memory of you on the show matches up with your best memory. What is your favorite scene involving Lucy on Dallas?
My favorite storyline for Lucy was, Lucy was engaged to marry a young man, Kit Mainwaring, who was the son of another very wealthy oil family.
Right.
And JR put them together and wanted to combine the two fortunes.
Right.
There was one problem. Kit Mainwaring was gay.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
Trying not to be. Basically, he said, Lucy, trust me, if you can't straighten me out, I am not straight.
Charlene?
He did say that, but it was such a wonderful storyline they did it so well, and it was gut-wrenching, and keep in mind, that was 25 years ago.
That was my point, and that was why you have passed the official Dallas test. That is the best moment ever for Lucy Ewing, when she's going to marry this guy, and it turns out
he's a homo, and this was 25 years ago. If I remember correctly, you tried to convert him very hard, didn't you?
So to speak.
Well, naturally.
I mean, that was part of and it was kind of, I'm really testing my memory banks here, but if I remember that plot line, it was kind of sad, wasn't it?
At the end, it was just, it started out like they fall in love, or she falls in love, and she's all excited and happy, and they're going to get married, and they're planning a wedding, and then he says, I can't go through with it, I'm gay, I'm trying to do this for my family and for everybody, but I got to be true to myself. And that was an issue, like I said, 25 years ago that wasn't talked about. And Lucy had an abortion. She was raped and had an abortion. And again, that was not done 25 years ago.
It was cutting edge.
Yeah. You know. And then Lucy in the haymop.
Oh, wow.
In the very beginning.
There you go. That's the number two all-time Lucy moment. And boy, oh boy, I still remember you up in that hayloft.
Those were hot and kinky scenes, and I was so much younger. You know, and it was like I was 17, and here was this older man, and that was very controversial at the time.
Okay, now that was the guy, the actor's name was it?
Steve Canelli.
Now, he was JR's, like, half-son?
Well, we found out afterwards he was JR's half-brother.
Oh, that's right, even worse.
Basically, Lucy sort of slept with an uncle.
Yeah. Fantastic. And of course, he was older. I remember one time I was watching it very distinctly. He's driving you to school.
Yeah.
And you're in a pickup truck, and He's saying to you, like, no, come on, darling, I got to take you to school. And what you do is you virtually straddle him and say, I'm not going to school today.
Yeah, pretty much. I think my head goes under the steering wheel.
No, like, well, I mean, it wasn't quite. Yeah, let's give that applause.
Now, were you instrumental? You played a large part in getting this reunion thing together, didn't you?
I did. I was very fortunate. We had done, Patrick Duffy, Larry Hagman, Linda Gray, and myself did an episode of, I did a show on the Soap Network. And the press afterwards and the audience there was just crying, and they wouldn't stop applauding and standing. And I thought, you know, this isn't the end of it. And I talked with, my managers, and I said, there's gotta be more to this. And we talked about a reunion special, and I said, well, wait a minute, this is, I can visualize it. We've got these home movies, Larry Hagman's home movies, and our gag reel is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And anyway, we called Henry Winkler, who I had not spoken to in a long time, but, you know, obviously everyone knows he's a very talented actor, but he also, him and his partner, Michael Levitt, have produced many hours of wonderful television. And
so Lucy calls Fonzie.
Yeah, Lucy calls Fonzie, basically. Tell him the idea. He's, you know, telling him all about the home movies and how it's going to, what makes it different and what makes it special and why it should be 2 hours and not only 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that at the end, he goes, well, what do you want to call it? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to call it? He goes, Dallas, a celebration. I said, great. So it's Dallas, a celebration. But it ended up, his partner, Michael Levitt, came up with the name Return to Southport.
You know, I just gotta say something. You still have that great, raspy, sexy voice. You know, the voice that was...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing about Dallas, not to derail you here, but was that there was a really great chemistry, obviously between, you know, JR and Sue Ellen, but everybody on the show, maybe it was the drugs we were all taking at the time, but it sure does seem that you watch that show every week, and you guys really acted like a real family. I mean, with, you know, ridiculous friggin' situations, but
I think any show that has a great villain and a great bad girl, you know, it's gonna work. It's gonna fly in a halon buzz, absolutely.
But you know, you're right. There was such it doesn't happen on every show. The chemistry, the casting was perfect. I mean, you can't imagine anybody else playing any of those characters. And the show has recently been released on, the first two seasons were released on DVD. And I have not seen the show in forever, but watching it on DVD, I get it now, what all the excitement was about. It's good.
Yeah.
And my daughter is watching it for the first time. Her and her friends have Dallas Friday nights, and they're like, this is even better than the OC. This is great.
Yeah, I would imagine that show, more than a lot of them, would hold up very, very well.
Of course, you know, and how many years, I don't know how many years has been off the air now, you know, well over 20, but the best JR moment ever was when JR Sue Ellen thrown in the nut house. And I think I mentioned this the other day when we were talking about it. And just the way he played, he had that smile on his face.
The Uber villain.
She's being dragged away. She's saying, JR, I will do anything. I will change JR.
You sound just like her.
Don't do this to me. And he just smiles and said, darling, these men will take care of you. He was, you know, the whole group of you were just fantastic.
Well, see, let me ask about him behind the scenes. You mentioned he has the home movies and stuff, and when you read so much about him, and obviously he is the he probably garnered the most press because of his lifestyle, shall we say. Was he at times more difficult than fun, or was it always fun, or was it a mixture of both?
Oh, he was never difficult for a second.
He was never difficult. Yeah. So it was a nonstop
honestly,
party.
Not a crossword. Not one bit of ego, not a diva on the set in all 13 years.
How did you guys feel that right, I remember right after Who Shot JR, that he wasn't off the show for a while because he was like in Europe holding out for more money.
Right.
You know, and more power to him. What did you guys think? That was like before any of these Friends stars would threaten to walk out, or, you know, all these shows we have now. How did you guys all react when Larry didn't show up for work because he wanted more money?
I'm trying to remember if he actually didn't show up for work, or if they had made the, or if they got the negotiations. You know, you might be right. We might have started filming, And then I think they might have filmed him in the hospital later.
Now, you did a lot.
And again, isn't that great about Dallas? Yeah, I think that's the way it happened. I remember that they filmed the scenes later.
When I was reading
I don't remember.
Because he conveniently was in the hospital since he had been shot.
Right, exactly. I know what it was. His face was all bandaged, I think, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
See, and they said at one point they were going to unwrap the bandages and there was going to be Robert Culp or something.
When you guys did, obviously, you did most of your shooting in Los Angeles, but then you would do your location shots down in Texas. And how much time did you spend down there? And was that, I mean, I read you all stayed at some beautiful old hotel down there. And was that fun when you guys did that?
Well, absolutely. We would film like 3 months out of the year down in Dallas.
Okay.
Which is another, you know, we, of course at South Fork, which is another reason with the special, I really kept insisting, you've got to film it at South Fork, because South Fork itself, the ranch was a character.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, but of course we would always go in the heat of the summer, and when it was, you know, 125 degrees in the shade. And
right.
Wearing silk blouses and things like that.
So. You're looking good, though.
Looking good.
We want to thank you for calling us. The return to South Fork, the Dallas celebration, this is Sunday night on CBS, 9 o'clock and 8 o'clock Central Time. So, you know, watch it.
It's going to be an event. It really is. I'm so proud of this special.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those schmaltzy things like when they brought I felt so bad when they brought the Dick Van Dyke Show back out.
Yeah, you're the biggest fan of that show in the world. You didn't like that.
They looked all falling apart, but all the ads I've seen on this, they all look like they could really go back and do the show again today.
Absolutely.
I have to tell you, we all look pretty good.
Yeah,
we do.
I think we might have one more. You know, Dallas movie in us? I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Do
it.
I'm Sally now, and that's how old I am. But
no. All right, Charlene, it was nice talking to you, honey.
God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah, the hottest woman on Dallas right there.
She was.
She was indeed.
She was kind of a slimmer, sluttier Sally Struthers.
Yes, she was. Oh, most definitely. That's a good analogy, right?
An excellent analogy.
A slimmer, sluttier Sally Struthers. And Sally Struthers... In her day, if you ever want to get an old DVD of the original Getaway, you got to go back to the dark ages for
it's got
to
be pre-All in the Family.
It is pre, I think it might be the same time, right at the beginning of All in the Family. But there's a lot of good, Sally Struthers had some qualities.
She did. Qualities that I think now, probably hitting it in the knees. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Charlene Tilton.
And there she is. She'll be on the show, Dallas.
Wow. That's a good show. I used to, you know, I got crazy like that, like I'm about American Idol.
Everybody was watching that show.
Yeah, and everybody had the party with the JR thing when he was shot. And
I just smile. You know, when you smile thinking about a villain, and you know, you don't want to talk about JR, but man, he was the central character to that, and because he was so perfect as a villain, because I think he had a lot of villain in him. You know, it's amazing that he was a nice guy, but he was the kind of guy where if you walked into an office and a guy was really like that, you know, there were guys like that.
There still are.
We know a lot of them in radio.
There still are guys like that in radio.
How they get their
guys
way.
Guys like that in all walks of business. And listen, what guy hasn't had that crazy fantasy? And at the time that show originally aired where JR put his wife in the sanitarium.
I don't know why you're dwelling on that scene.
I guess I had been married, I don't know, a year. Uh-huh. So I was still happy then.
Sure. We all understand.
Not that I'm not joyous now.
Of course. Sure. Now you're doing cartwheels.
But even back then, I remember seeing that scene and just going... Now, this is not the greatest thing. Yeah. You know, even married 1 year.
Yeah. That's when you started to pursue that legislation. If the marriage is not going well, see if you can have her institutionalized.
JR, please, JR. Just say goodbye, darling.
Bye, darling.
Go see the other POA that
he
had.
Why was Sue Ellen wigged out? Well, what was his proof? What were his grounds for institutionalizing?
Well, she was an alcoholic.
Right.
And this was the season where I know too much about this show.
Right.
The season where they had her totally wig out, where she was throwing wine bottles at him from across the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and also,
and he was going upstairs and saying, I'm going to go take care of J.R. Jr., whatever the little kid's name was, the baby that we never saw.
Oh, also, she refused to eat the cake.
Okay, and that's two cast members now that will not eat Larry Hagman cake when he leaves us.
All the more for Miss Ellie.
Who is not dead?
No, she's not. She's ailing, but alive.
Barbara Bel Geddes.
God watch over her soul.
What do I care about her?
I saw the picture. Charlene still manages to look stunning.
No, she's not missed any meals.
No.
I'll say that.
Well, she was always... Right. She always had a little meat on her bones.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, she does look good. You know, you should pray for... Not for Miss Ellie. Pray for my soul. I am just...
You're dying?
I'm dying.
Right. You sound good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not coughing as much as yesterday.
Good.
And I'm sure I'm getting past this thing. It's just every once in a while you get a day, you wake up and you feel like God is just looking down and saying, you know what? You've been a pretty good guy, but for whatever reason, I'm just going to just screw with you.
Not today, Don.
Just to get your attention.
Today is a good day to die.
Starts at 1:15 in the morning when the power goes off, and of course the alarm company calls and says that, you know, the power is off, and we say, yeah, thank you, and what's the code word, and then we say the code word, and then yeah, but then you're awake.
Yeah. Well, it could be a lot worse.
Why?
The phone call could come through and it could be, he's in the house. You know, those scary things.
You've gotten mad before. He's upstairs. Well, at this point, I would welcome this because what happens is, now I'm aware, I woke up like at 1:15.
Right. You'd welcome the serial killer prowler upstairs in your house?
Mike, when I'm sick and I'm down in NyQuil, come on in, put me out of my misery.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I was thinking you're not feisty, you just want him to take you out.
Stuffy nose, congestion, you know. And the worst thing is, God damn, give me back my taste.
Yes.
You know, that's...
Oh, that's the worst.
I hate it when you get the cold and you know, and invariably someone that you love will say to you, well, this is a blessing in disguise because now, you know, you could eat nothing but hearty vegetables that would help you get well, and you can't even taste them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just give me, if I can't taste it, just give me like a half pound of lard.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit down at the table.
Something that just has an interesting smooth texture. Because it's all about texture. Taste is not involved.
So the taste is gone. And I've got the phlegm and all the stuff you don't want to hear about.
You know, oysters on the half shell when you have a cold.
And the power goes off, and I keep waking up because for some reason I know that come morning time I'm going to be upset if the power's not on. So I wake up at 3 o'clock,
yeah.
Then I wake up at 4 o'clock, and I wake up at my usual time about 5 o'clock, which used to be 6 o'clock, but with the change in the
Now you're
going to
get up at 5? Me too.
Yeah. So I'm up at 5.
Both you guys are getting up at 5?
Yes. Right. I got no control
Can't
over
help
it. And I NyQuil'd myself out last night.
Right.
I mean, no booze, but plenty of NyQuil last
right,
night.
Right, right.
So I get up, and I go into the bathroom, and I'm trying to be very quiet, and I get done, and I flush the toilet, and I hear from the other room, she's still in the bed, you know. No, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
She just... she's it. Although, I'll tell you what, it's very tough. I knew that the power wasn't on, but didn't really care. I mean, I was sitting there. I was sitting. And I...
Sitting for number one?
Well, there was a lot going on.
Well, no, but I mean, sitting is okay if it's dark.
Well, there was... It was the...
It was a combo.
We're going to get into the area we can't get into anymore.
I completely understand.
It was, I sat down because I knew there was a chance that I would upgrade to extra value meal number two.
Okay, very good. That's well put.
A big roll of the dice.
See, you know, some say we regret the days we could talk about anything. I like it because I like it when we have to dance around.
Fun to dance.
And I like the upgrade thing.
So I'm sitting there and what she says to me has nothing to do with the ordering of the meal. I hear her after I flush the commode, and I hear from the other room,
why did you do that?
I said, you know, because I thought I was being quiet.
Right.
I apologize. There was no noise. That I said, why am I doing what?
Flush the toilet.
I said, why?
Because the power's off.
I said, oh, honey, what am I supposed to do? She says, just go.
You know the rule of the house. When the power's off, we don't flush.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'll give up my one. If I only got one flush for the day,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be my flush.
I'll take it.
So now we're awake.
To the yard, Agarn.
And Frida, who I guess used to live in Pilgrim Time in another one of her many lives, of course, is unfazed by the fact that there's no electricity.
Right.
Immediately, I start compounding all of the things. I mean, this is the way my crazy mind works.
Candles and a wood fire.
I come downstairs and I go, oh, Christ, first thing, no coffee. Need coffee. Really need coffee.
Make it on the fireplace.
I said, shut up, Michael. second thing I said, you know, need lights. Need light. Need, you know, need computer.
Yeah, nothing about the computer can be said.
Need to work on the show. Need to watch the Today Show. Need to do all the things that I need to do.
Could have done it.
And as it turns out, what?
I said he could have done it. With a generator? With a generator.
My mother-in-law is still enjoying that generator to this day, Mike.
I don't forget, Rob. That's not like the vodka behind the desk.
You know what?
That is Mike, generator. That's the best gift
Mike,
I ever got.
Mike, that is... I am not demeaning that gift.
That is the greatest gift I ever got.
That is the most thoughtful gift you ever got me.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that really, like, out of my deck, like... It's too retarded to have a generator just so I can watch TV when the power goes out for 3 or 4 hours.
But, you know, I don't know what it was, but I think when I got that for you, you had been losing power.
All the time.
Semi-regularly.
Yeah.
I thought it would be good. But I think, really, you might want to invest in, like, those real ones that they, you know, the ones that are the expensive ones where they just throw a switch and bingo, you're never out of power.
I don't know. All I know is that it was the longest morning of my life because... You know, there's togetherness, and then there's togetherness.
There's colonial togetherness.
Yeah, and it was the togetherness where even when she was doing something else, because there's no electricity, there's no noise in the house, you know, you can hear everything from every room, and I'm thinking I'm living in Quaker times, and finally the newspaper arrived, and it was like, oh, thank God, something from the outside world. Now I have to find a room that has enough light so I can actually read.
Did you venture out to discern the nature of the power outage?
No, I did not. I did not. And Frida said to me, you know, listen, stop being such a baby. She said, I don't care that you have a cold. You know, put on a sweatshirt and go over to the Starbucks and get yourself your stupid coffee. And she said it in a much kinder way.
That's the pioneer spirit.
Than that. And
yes, you go to your Starbucks. That's what the pilgrims did.
And I said, because I'm like, let me see, who's a really, because I'm like Meg Ryan or Julia Roberts, I simply cannot go out in the morning where I might see someone in the general public.
Not before you put your face on.
Without my makeup. I would be out there just with a scarf and my big rollers on.
The big sunglasses. That's Don Geronimo.
Yeah, my big hairy sunglasses.
Oh, my God, I can't believe, no wonder he always looks so good.
In my house coat.
A simple house frock.
You know, the thing is, there's a difference between the grunge of waking up on a Saturday morning when you get up at your own speed, when you make the conscious decision, I'm not going to shower today, but I'm going to wash up enough that it's okay.
Right.
This was the immediacy of, you know, 6:15 in the morning, need my coffee, can't really go anywhere because, God, I'm sick. My breath is 100 times worse than it normally is. My hair is going that Albert Schweitzer 18,000 different ways at once. I got that.
Now, is it Albert Schweitzer or Albert Einstein?
Either one.
What did Albert Schweitzer's hair look like?
It was impeccably groomed.
Made fun of the other Albert.
He did. Well, it was bad, and I, you know, it smelled offensive, and I just...
And isn't cold breath the worst breath?
It's,
when you have a cold, that's the worst.
And here's the thing. When you lose your sense of taste, again, you know, I don't care how many times you go up there with the goddamn cinnamon rush toothpaste.
Yeah.
And at this point, this morning, when I'm walking around in the powerless house, we've got jalapeno peppers. And I thought, well, let's just see. I eat the first one. I mean, not a thing.
Did they get your sinuses cleared out a little bit?
No, no. It didn't taste a thing.
No, this thing doesn't really work.
Yeah, didn't taste.
May still burn you.
Oh, I know. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah.
At this point, at least, well, maybe Friday night.
Could be.
At this point, you know, any sensation at all.
You're going to wake up Frida again.
would be welcome. And then the other thing that I did, because I'm crazy like this, was I had to go find my little battery-powered TV with a 2-inch screen.
Never to be without the television.
So I'm
like... You go absolutely bananas because you watch so much television and you flip around to make sure you see everything. Do you have almost like a... Do you border on having a nervous breakdown when you don't have power and five channels?
I just... No, I'm even fine with one. If I can just find one, because here's the thing.
It is more entertainment than just like out of the loop.
Here's the thing. When there's a power outage, here's all I wanted from TV. I wanted... And first off, it's idiotic the TV reports on power outages, because the only people that can see that there are 3,000 people without power are the people without power.
Right.
But I think beyond that, and I think I'm one of the people with a battery TV, so I want to see on the TV if they're saying that there are power outages everywhere, mm-hmm. or if it's just some jackass in my neighborhood that's run into a telephone pole.
Right. Well, that's understandable. So if you have your little, what, 3-inch screen, at least it's something.
Yes, and I sat there.
But to drive you really insane would be to call your house continuously and say, hey, turn on this channel.
Yes, this morning it would have been. But, you know, thank God, 4 hours after we awoke, miraculously, everything goes, and there's not a sweeter sound than the washer, the dryer, the microwave, everything's going on, everything's beeping, everything's playing at full volume.
You do what I do, right? You turn everything on, hair dryers, blenders, so you know when the power comes
on.
That's
right.
Right.
It's on, baby.
And you get the kind of power surge that can cause a major fire.
You hope.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, the power was on, and then things were good. I had a very nice conversation today with Young, the DirecTV guy. Came out a little too windy to get up on the roof today, he decided. Said there's some kind of code when the wind is over 40 miles an hour that they really shouldn't go up there.
And it's television. He should be willing to risk his life.
But the thing about this guy, now, he said to me, I've talked about this guy for the last couple of weeks. His name is Young. You don't spell it like Y-O-U-N-G, but that's his first name. Okay. He said to me today, and I wrote it down when he said it, he would like to be on the show to be our William Hung.
Okay.
Now, I'm only...
Does he have the same accent that William Hung has?
Well, he's got the teeth.
He's got the teeth?
He's got the teeth, and he's not as pronounced all as William Hung was. I told him...
Shebang, shebang.
I told him, first of all, I think people are kind of sick of William Hung.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a character. I enjoy talking to him.
Yeah.
But the last time, and it was also from the same field, the last time I had a TV guy, and I thought he was a real character, it was that British guy, Chris.
Right.
And I had him come down here on the show, and he
Is that
just,
the guy that sells sausages now?
Yes.
Drove him out of the business.
That's right.
Bangers. Yeah.
We had him on the... I talked this guy up and said, this guy made me laugh for an hour, brought him in here, and he was a dud beyond dud.
I've seen him probably more than you have, because I see him... Really, he sells sausages to restaurants.
Thanks. Look around, Kathy.
And he came in and he said, hello, you know I used to know your partner. Hello.
So, anyway, Young, if you're out there listening, you know, come back, put the dish on, and then come on by the show. I say the day that you finish the job, come by and be on the show.
Is he a skinny guy?
No, he's not at all.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, celebrity he most resembles, only Mike will understand this, Fee Lee.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly the look.
Well, then no wonder he didn't want to go up on the roof with the wind. I was saying if he's a thin guy, you know, it wouldn't really matter.
Any relation?
To Fee Lee?
Yeah.
Weren't they all related?
I thought so.
Fee Lee, who I think wins the award for the longest period of time that I haven't seen somebody and the most non-reaction. You know, as I walked in and Fee Lee was coming into the building and he used to work at our old radio station.
Yeah, let me give you some background. Fee Lee was our engineer when Mike and I worked at WAVA. Well over 15 years ago, this guy was one of our engineers at the station.
And literally, someone came along and removed his personality early on. And I walked in and I said, Fee, how are you? Hey. Hey, yo. And that was it.
That's all I got.
That's all I got from Fee.
Now, when Young comes by, will he sing?
That is what he wants to do.
He wants to sing on the show?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's got some karaoke thing that he wants to...
Of course.
And I said, now, if you're...
He loves the karaoke.
Of course.
It means empty orchestra where he comes from.
Acting, of course, the game.
Does he want to actually come into the studio?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
That's what but I'm worried because... Excuse me, I had the guy Chris in here.
Right, he'll actually come in and bring his machine, or will we just play something for him?
I told him that he's got it on CD. He wants to do...
just like in 1941, I think this guy's going to surprise you.
Oh, Rob.
Wow. His song choice, incidentally, is Macarena.
Oh, fantastic.
Great. I kid you not.
Hey, Macarena.
So anyway, his name is Young.
He won't disappoint.
So, Young, if you're out there, if anybody's out there,
sure.
You know, you're set, Young.
Young. Is Young his first name or his last name?
Yes.
Like Madonna?
Yes. No, his first name is Young, and I think I mentioned the other day, it's something like sweet and sour pork. So, I mean, it's... It's like
that can't be right.
It's his name is like it sounds like Young Mugu Gaipan.
Young, I mean, yeah, all right.
But there's more than Mugu Gaipan. I just don't have the word.
So Young is his first name.
Yes, and it doesn't start with Y. It starts with J, okay. And then after that, it ends up with G. But there's like a whole bunch of
surprising
consonants. And
Young, my man.
Anyway, that's the story with that. So hello to him, and all is right in my world because the power is on.
Yeah. And you got your TV.
Got my
nothing was blown when they put the power back on.
I got my magic box. Had on in time to watch Ellen DeGeneres today, and they had Kevin James on.
Oh, really?
Former acquaintance of the show. Kevin has not done anything to incur our wrath, has he?
No, not at all.
He's always been pretty cool with us. Mm-hmm. He's on the show, and he's talking about King of Queens.
Oh, wonderful.
And what's her name? Ellen DeGeneres, who is really good on this show.
Yeah.
She says to him in a very polite way, she says, "It looks like you've put on a few pounds since the last time you were here." And Kevin James says, and this I believe is the truth, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what's going on." He said, "I did lose about 50 pounds. And then on the show, my wife on the show, Leah Remini, got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And as she has, and this is his words, not mine, anybody that saw the Ellen show, says, and as she has put on weight with the baby and is having some trouble taking weight off after the baby, uh-huh. She came to me and asked me if I would gain back the weight that I lost.
To make her look smaller?
That's not what he said.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
He did say that Leah Remini asked him to put back on the 40 or 50 pounds, and he called them sympathy pounds.
Oh, yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, any excuse.
But I'm watching this today, and I'm thinking, now this poor guy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I've had the I've had the battle of the waistline. I cannot imagine. Kevin James is a little bigger than I was at my heaviest, but I can't imagine. You go through that crap, you lose the 50 pounds.
Right.
I know, because I've lost 70 pounds. I don't care what anybody said to me. If they said, you got to gain this weight back, for what? For Leah Remini? Because she ballooned?
Well, it's a terrific excuse if you just happen to gain the weight back.
And if you think...
And remember when we were on the set of that show, I don't think there's any environment where you could gain weight more than on a television show set.
Yeah.
Because the craft services people put out food always.
Yes. And if you think about the premise of that show, like just about every white sitcom on TV today, it is a fat guy mm-hmm. with a hot wife.
Right.
Well, what happens when the fat guy starts to get a little skinnier? Not that he's going to be any handsomer,
mm-hmm.
but the wife starts to pork up. Well, you've got to go back to the husband and say, listen, you got to pork up a little bit now because she's porking up a little bit.
Pork up a lot to make her look less porky. Please.
And
the producers came to gain weight now.
We are awful. My wife and I are awful. I'm going to lump her in this with me. Last night? We watched CSI last night, but
yes.
The night before, King of Queens was on, and I ran into the room and I said, hey, turn it on. And it was a shot of Leah going up some stairs. I just said to Frida, pause it right there.
Yeah.
Said, oh, very evil. Very evil that we're, you know, that I'm making you pause this just so we can, like, check out your baby got back on Leah.
You know, I mean, in the old days, really, wasn't it women always talked about the battle after having a kid, the battle lose weight? And then these Hollywood celebrities would have a kid, and then, 3 weeks later, they walk out of their playing weight. And I think, you know, it probably is very difficult for some people to lose
Leah
weight.
Probably is in the norm in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see people like Catherine Zeta-Jones, who, yes, she had her next baby, and look at her now, back to her same svelte figure.
But Catherine Zeta-Jones, not a restaurant owner.
Like
and
Leah.
She can really, you know, separate herself from
amen.
Delicious eggs.
Jim Belushi's got to be feeling better than ever about himself now.
Sure. So do you think Leah is as bitchy now as when we knew her when she was hot?
I think absolutely, because you're dealing with the things that, as you know, and Rob and I know, that when you have a little one, you know, and not sleeping through the night, you're much more snippy and snappy, I would imagine.
And she's angry.
Uh-huh.
Angry at the weight.
Because I'm toying with seeing if we can get her back on just for a one time. How you doing?
Yeah, I see no reason why we can't make that effort.
I think that'd be nice.
We need some fireworks. I mean, we got the Absinthe show coming up next week.
Oh, we don't want to do that, do you?
No, not on that day, no. No.
Hey, Leah, how you doing?
Truth
I was a little fat girl.
Truth serum day. Got a break here, but when we come back... We got simply too much today. A real show today. We mentioned Rich Eisen will be on today.
Right. Hello.
Friday. Hi, B.A.
Hey.
With the Pick the Pros, Rich is brought to us by Tower Records, Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies that you love. Got a ton of guests on the show today. Good guests, as a matter of fact. However, I want to leave you with this before we go to the break, and we can discuss this when we come back, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, Beth Ann McBride says to me today,
mm-hmm.
as we walk past the hall of slinky, slimy sales guy, Paul Gorgie, as we walk past
yes.
the hall with his office.
He's got an office now.
He says something like, hello, and I said, hello, like that, and we walked to the office, and Beth Ann said, with your name in particular, she said, why does Mike hate Paul Gorgie? And I said, I don't think Mike hates Paul Gorgie. I said, Mike feels about Paul Gorgie the way that I do. He's a guy who, and before I could even finish, I wrote it down. Beth Ann said, is it because he's strikingly handsome?
Beth Ann said that?
About Paul Gorgie.
Yeah.
The guy who lives in the tanning booth.
Well, thanks, B.A. That's very kind.
I didn't know.
I was surprised when I found out who Paul Gorgie was, because the first time I ever heard of him was on the show. And
he's a sales guy here. You can smell this guy through the telephone when he calls. I mean, you can smell the aqua velva through the phone.
Well, Paul Gorgie is the definitive sales guy, and we pick on Paul Gorgie like we pick on Steve Johnson. I would say that, I just like Steve Johnson a lot more than Paul Gorgie.
If you had to rank them?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Paul Gorgie and I have actually bumped into each other and chatted, and I haven't run away from him. So, I've never had that happen with Steve Johnson. If I saw Steve Johnson, I'd probably make some sort of, hey, fancy seeing you here. Gotta run.
But my point, excuse me.
Well, and Beth Ann, you don't think that I'm strikingly handsome?
Oh, yeah. But I never understood.
No.
Then why the comment, because he's strikingly handsome? Is that why Don and I don't like him?
Because we're threatened by his good looks.
Because Don and I do not consider ourselves strikingly handsome.
I'm not even going there. I just think, I don't care about what she thinks about us.
Right.
I think it's important to note that Beth Ann thinks
that he's strikingly handsome.
That Paul Gorgie is strikingly handsome.
I believe he's single.
No, he's not. I've met Mrs. Gorgie.
Oh,
you've met Mrs. Gorgie?
Yeah.
And when did you meet Mrs. Gorgie?
When I was here one Sunday morning working, and I'd forgotten something in my car, and I came down, and they were just getting out of his car.
Do you think that really is Mrs. Gorgie, or was it just a last-minute cover for someone who was coming
by? And that's Gordon.
Were you really working, Beth Ann, or perhaps were you just waiting to see if Paul Gorgie would come in on Sunday?
I had never seen him in on a Sunday before, so I was...
In your house coat. Wearing the same outfit I had on this morning. Beth Ann with her curlers and her house coat and here on a Sunday morning. And also an update. Oh, we got a break. On Jonathan, the other guy that works here who Beth Ann has a thing for. Jonathan, the nerdy guy, we've had him on the show.
Right.
Now, what's the deal? He has a pencil that says Mensa on it.
Yeah.
And because he has a pencil, this what means that he is a Mensa?
No. He actually took the test to become a member of Mensa, and he, whatever you need to do, he scored highest enough that they
gave him a pencil.
Now that he's now a member of Mensa.
He was really smart. He'd use a pen.
So, I thought from what you guys were telling me was that it's just that he had a pencil that said Mensa on it.
Well, when he took the test, it was a couple weeks ago, and he said, I won't know, and he didn't want me to tell anybody. And then a couple days ago, he said, look. And I looked at the pencil. Oh, Mensa. He said, I got in. That's great.
That means he's as smart as Gina Davis.
If a guy's really a Mensa.
Right.
What's he doing here?
That is a hell of a point. Yeah. Well, you can be book smart and not have common sense smart.
Yeah.
True.
That's what I chalk it up to.
Do you consider Jonathan to be strikingly handsome?
No.
You do not.
But
you
just can handsome?
Do you seriously consider Paul Gorgie to be strikingly handsome?
Yeah, Paul Gorgie is like where either sex would agree that's a good-looking human being.
Do you think he's
baby.
Do you think Paul Gorgie's the
you're a hungry girl, you need to be fed.
Do you think Paul Gorgie's the best-looking person in the building?
Do I think that Paul Gorgie
is? Don't answer a question with a question.
Of the males, yes.
Oh, God. There's a female.
So I am so embarrassed for this show right
Everybody's
now.
Everybody's different. Wait, we got a break. I'll continue this with you later.
Did you want to ask Joe anything while you had the line open?
I forgot. Oh, thank you, Robbie. Yeah. Would you put Joe on? Thank you, Robbie. for goodness sakes. I heard the voice
here
rings.
Right now.
What?
He's not here.
Joe.
Where's he at?
Where is he?
Where'd he go? I don't know. Maybe just go take another look at Paul Gorgie. He's not here right now.
I think it would be important that Joe would be there at his position while we're actually on the air doing the show.
Yeah.
Is he taking the Mensa test?
He's back in his cubicle study.
Beth Ann?
Yeah.
I hate to be catty or anything like that, but
right.
I take it hair is not necessarily an important quality to you.
His face is so strikingly handsome you don't even realize.
You don't realize what? The fact that he's losing his hair or the fact that he's had some plugs or what?
I'm telling you, you guys are jealous.
Oh, why would we be jealous of a guy who is going to look like Mac Davis in a couple of years?
I mean, baffled.
He goes to that tanning booth, what, on the quarter hour?
I never knew he tanned. He just looked like he was healthy.
You know, this is really just more evidence that you're flat out nuts.
Yes, he's back. Here you go.
Thank you.
Hey.
Weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Oh, nice to talk to the sane one in that office.
hey, you crazy hippie. Where were you?
I went to go get your next soda and your Slim Fast.
Thank you, Joe.
Don and Mike, and we're going to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I know that guy from Meet the Press. I think it's a big old... Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Oh. Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. Excuse me, sir. Are you Tim? Excuse me. Are you Tim from Meet the Press?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, hi. Nice to see you.
I'm Ronnie. I seen Meet the Press a couple of times.
You ever see Face the Nation? Bob Schieffer's right here.
Oh, Bob Schieffer from CBS.
Much better.
Hey, Bob. Nice to see you.
Greg.
I seen you on CBS.
We're going to go on air in 1 minute.
Oh.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. You're an idiot.
They will touch you in the place called the heart. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Okay, let's see if we can get through some of this junk.
Right.
We've got to get through on this week of shows. That includes the How Your News tapes.
Yes.
We'll try to get to those. We've got a bunch of absolutely last chance to hear these awful songs that people sent us before the election.
Right.
Oh, good. I'll give you an example of one of them now.
I love this one.
We love
hey,
that.
Hey, Mr. President. We kept getting anti-Bush songs, then we get anti-Kerry songs,
right.
And then we would every once in a while just get a total piece of garbage.
Sounds pretty.
Oh, you bet it sounds pretty, Buzz, and it's got some nice, pretty packaging, and it says...
That is very professionally packaged.
It says, award-winning composer, and whoever this loser is sent us this, 6 or 7 weeks ago. We just put it in a pile, figured that one day we'd play some of these awful songs that we've received, and... Without further ado, this may be the worst one that we got out of all those, the most professionally done, but also the worst one. Ladies and gentlemen, Baby President. I'm telling you, we got a lot of crap during the last 3 months. It's the most professional one we got and the worst one we got. Just wanted to play it once before we threw it away today. Baby President.
Jesus.
No.
Wait, it gets better.
Yeah, guy had a whole website. I guess he still does.
What the hell is it?
Mike, it's the world's greatest novelty song. And? You got to give it a second to build here.
I guess so. World's longest
and
intro.
And now, really, here it is. God.
An idiot.
All right.
Shut up.
I was wondering what the hook was.
All
All right, you got it?
That's
there
it.
You
go. I'm still wondering. What else do we
what
have?
This one.
This is the other side. There's a flip side.
Oh. There you go, boom. I shot. There you go, boom. I shot.
There it is.
There you
know, I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
I understand that. I'm Al Franken.
Anyway, that's the baby president. We won't hear. Bush is a turd. We won't hear.
Hold on.
You're going into your file cabinet for these?
Yeah.
Filtering out the desk.
Carrie's wife is very hairy. A lot of these sound funnier than they
right, and then when they're in practice, they're not funny at all.
Although, this cannot be true. Patricia in Kansas on KFH. Hi, Patricia.
I really want it, you guys. I'm already depressed. This will send me over the edge.
You really want what?
I want that record.
You want baby president?
Please, please. I've never asked for anything.
Now, what is it? What moved you?
I don't know. I think it's the little baby sound. I don't know. It's been a bad week.
Are you a single woman?
No. I have too many kids to count.
But you have babies.
Hi, Buzz. Hi, Mike.
Too many babies.
I love you guys.
Too many babies to count. Honey, listen, no, you don't want that. That's a piece of garbage.
You think this is it? This is the last sign that...
Are you a desperate housewife?
Am I? No.
You sound like it.
I wish.
So you're looking for some action?
No.
You know, I'm curious because we just played it once. And
I know, and I called and I got through. I thought
all right, listen. All right, we'll send you the stupid CD, and I'll tell you, we're also going to send you a box of 100 condoms.
I need them. I'm a good Catholic.
Right, so you don't have,
for you.
So you don't have any more kids.
Pass them out at church.
Get over this baby.
Well, enjoy the song and the condoms.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great weekend.
You should know, though, that really, Patricia, I swear to God, it is coming right out of our garbage can.
Yes,
I know it is. I don't want you to throw it away. I'll call you while I play it.
It's going right out to you.
Okay, good. Call us back.
We'll get that right out of the vans. Hold on, Patricia.
Feel better.
Hold on. That's a crazy lady.
Very, very crazy.
I was going to give her like a Lord of the Rings. What do we have? Lord of the Rings box set today?
She doesn't want that.
That's what we're giving away now.
She wants baby president.
Baby president. Stuff to get to before the week runs out.
As I brought the CD out to the producer's room, John Norman had a greeting for this caller. He said, "She's a tard."
Well,
that's right. You never know what people are going to like, Rob.
True. Tell him I love him as Captain Obvious for Halloween. John. Michael Jackson.
Boo.
Hi.
He's in the news. I love this. This just happened just today.
What did he do?
Now, I want to tell you first, it's a repressed memory story.
Okay.
Okay.
From Michael Jackson?
No. From?
One of his victims?
From? Hold on a second. From?
A boy.
A boy. A boy.
That's right. A boy. Hold on, Larry. Oh, that's right.
Michael Jackson tonight.
That's right.
A boy. I'm lying in bed. I would rather do Saddam Hussein. A boy.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Larry. Larry. It's Michael Jackson, and, okay, he's been hit with a civil lawsuit. A guy in New Orleans says Michael molested him in 1984. Now, if you believe this guy's story, and why wouldn't you? And maybe you don't want to.
Right.
He's 38 now. This is 20 years ago. He was 18. He says that Michael Jackson's henchmen forced him at gunpoint to have sex with Michael Jackson. He didn't come forward, pun intended, because he repressed the memory of what Michael did to him just until he's seen him on TV recently.
You know, now, that the age difference is not all that significant.
Normally you would say maybe this is just a guy, again, no pun intended, looking to pile on.
I would think that on face value, yeah.
But, I don't know.
You never know.
I don't
know. Does anybody really know with Michael Jackson?
And that's the thing. Although it's not been in Michael Jackson's, I think we all know the way that Michael Jackson sleeps with kids, boys, is to bring them to Neverland Ranch. I've never heard of him getting his cronies to pull out guns.
Well, the age to Michael Jackson in his mid-40s, this would be a... almost not really a contemporary, but it wouldn't be that.
Michael was 25 at the time.
25, maybe, and the guy was what, 18?
18. Maybe he looked 16.
Maybe he had a fake ID that said he was 12.
maybe he was
otherwise he's
bloomer.
Over the hill.
Yeah,
I get worried about those repressed memories, but in the case of Michael Jackson, you never know what's true. And I think when this trial finally gets rolling, we're probably going to hear, you know, a lot more information.
Here's the thing about repressed memories. All I know is that Roseanne gave them a bad name.
Absolutely.
I don't remember exactly what Roseanne Barr did, but she's the one that... I don't doubt that people actually do have repressed memories.
I'm sure some people do, but I also think that when there's something a high profile, you know, you can go to bed at night and have a nightmare and all of a sudden wake up in the morning and think that's a repressed memory.
Right. Mike, let me talk about RJ for a second. You may know him as number two. From Austin Powers.
Oh,
RJ, Robert Wagner.
Well, I only think of one when you mention those initials.
RJ? Oh, your butler.
Yes, Raymond Diaz.
RJ Diaz.
Who enjoyed the World Series with me. I didn't mention that.
Oh, really?
He stopped by. He was along for that,
still
I think.
Still alive.
Yeah, he and his son came by, and I was almost ready to employ him again.
I'm very lonely for you. I can say that now because you have a girlfriend. I'm kidding.
I know. So, you funny guy.
So, listen, here's the thing with RJ.
It's good to see him. Yeah.
RJ, Robert Wagner, wants now to make history. Now, you got to be old.
Wagner.
To understand the people that Robert Wagner's talking about.
Right.
He's claiming now that he was Ashton Kutcher. Or Ashton Kutcher. I always screw that up. Before Ashton Kutcher.
Why don't you just say Ashton Kirshner?
Because then I think of Don Kirshner from Rock Concert and Paul Schaefer doing the imitation.
Right. How about just a combination? How about Ashton Kutcher?
Could I just use... Well, then you'd have to go to Harvey's Custom Cleaners. See, then now we're doing a show for exactly four people.
I'm sorry.
52 years ago, he was 22.
Uh-huh.
And he was having sex with Barbara Stanwyck.
Hey.
From the Big Valley.
Oh,
oh, that's gross.
And at that. That's gross, even.
And at the time, she was 45. So Robert Wagner is now making the rounds of the TV talk shows, and he's seriously...
I didn't think Barbara Stanwyck looked good when she was like a young actress.
Me either.
Right.
He seriously wants people to know that he was Ashton before such a thing ever existed.
Do they still run the Big Valley in syndication anywhere?
Oh, I think they do, like, on...
I think on Hallmark.
Hallmark. It wasn't always with the Big Valley, wasn't it? And Miss Barbara Stanwyck as Victoria Barclay.
All I remember
Not Victoria, or whoever she... Who was she on the Big Valley?
I don't know. I know Barbara Stanwyck. She owned the carnival in the Elvis movie Roustabout.
Oh, shut up. All I know about the Big Valley is that it had the guy from Nanny and the Professor, who was one of the sons.
Right.
On the Big Valley.
Barbara Stanwyck's Big Valley.
Let's give it up for Robert Wagner.
So Robert Wagner was 22 and she was 45.
I got to fly through these because I've been waiting all week and the expiration date on these is going to run out. We're running out of town. Mike, I know you're very concerned about Ruben Studdard.
Yes, I am. I want to make sure he takes the weight off.
Okay. 2 weeks ago, he went on a major diet program.
Well, God bless him.
Ruben Studdard, 2 weeks ago, weighed 449 pounds.
Yeah. Ouch.
2 weeks... Oh, thanks, Rob.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Should have grabbed it myself,
right?
Okay, 2 weeks. He decided, this is it. I'm almost 500 pounds.
Okay, good.
I got to do something. In 2 weeks, he did manage to lose 12 pounds.
That's good. That's good. That's 6 pounds a week.
But he claims that he is just too busy for the diet.
Too busy.
He doesn't have time.
I don't have time.
He doesn't have time to go see a doctor or to talk to somebody about his meal plan.
I'm a busy man.
Anyway, he is in denial. He says,
get a doctor visit in with lunch.
What was he saying? The quote was something like, I have a good self-image. I've never worried about my weight. There are lots of sexy 500-pound people in the world.
So the actual threat of death is not the motivating factor for him.
You know who's the failure here is Randy Jackson, dog, because he was supposed to coach him through this.
Yeah, bad coaching.
Yeah.
Well, Randy Jackson didn't do it honest, right? I mean,
he did it like Al Roker did it, Brian Wilson's girl did.
Gastric bypass or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, now listen, this is not a TV show yet. Want to talk about this all week. It is a British TV show, a reality show. We talked yesterday about how, you know, reality shows are really going to, you know, give another year or two and they'll probably be at the end.
You know, I said that yesterday on the show and then I just got probably more into Survivor last night than I've ever gotten into it because
it was a good one.
It's a battle of the sexes, man, and they really are they're succeeding, and there's this totally evil, like, sorceress who's eliminating all the guys.
Don't tell me I watched it last night.
I have never gotten emotionally involved with Survivor until last night when they voted off the guy and when the ladies were the alliance, because I thought that, you know, part of the attraction of that show was it was a little balanced.
And the one guy,
it really appears that they're going to try to eliminate women. All the women are going to eliminate the guys.
And the guy with the Gilligan hat is the dumbest. You know the guy that I'm talking about?
Yeah. Sarge is just like, yeah. Did you see the girl coming in? They're like, Survivor, I was kind of watching Survivor half-heartedly and saying to myself, hey, forget it. It's, you know, it's just another Survivor. Hey, something to watch.
Right.
But it has turned into this Amazon evil sorceress thing, and really now I'm riveted.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not as good as. Oh, and also should mention The Apprentice last night. We'll have the 5 minutes of fame with whoever the loser. Oh, Raj
next. Oh, Raj,
good old Raj.
Oh, him.
We'll be joining us later today. If you want to call with the 5 minutes of questions for Raj.
Is that Raj?
No, not him. No, not
with the glasses.
Exactly. Listen, here's the idea they have for a show, a reality show now on the BBC in Britain. Channel 4, because they only got like 5 channels in Britain.
Right.
Still, what they're looking for, yes, is somebody who is terminally ill.
Okay.
They want this person, they will pay this person $1 million to donate his or her body after death so that it can be filmed decomposing and being shown in a weekly 30-minute television show. They already have a sponsor. They believe it will be the highest rated reality show in the history of British television. The only problem is they can't find anybody who's terminally ill who is willing to say, after I die, you can leave the cameras on me and tape it and then turn it into a reality show in which all you would do is watch the person decompose with narration, explaining the process as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be a 16-week show.
You would
watch the body decompose.
You got me with that one. I'm thinking to myself, every week, 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Will there be enough decomposition? Will the body change enough to make it interesting?
Yes, and they will also, what they're looking for is not only the terminally ill person, but the family that will play along, the family that will get the $1 million. What they're going to have to do as the weeks go on is, here's how they're covering their ass on this. Partly it's going to be a tribute to this person's life.
Right.
So every week, the family will come on for the BS, you know, oh, Johnny was a great guy. Then it'll be, now it's time, after 4 weeks, let's see what's happening with Johnny's body. And that's when you have the doctor come in with the pointer and the laser thing, and, you know, as his ears start to fall off and the other stuff happens,
Look for it to come across the pond.
And the goal is to get somebody to sign up to do this, and then at the burial, that is which incidentally is on TV.
Right.
He's already dead. He or she's already dead.
How long are they going to go with it?
So it'll be a 16-week series that they think that they can shoot to get the body to decompose in roughly 8 to 9 weeks.
That's amazing.
And then when they finally do have the funeral, and that's on TV for the decomposed body, that's when they will pull out from the crowd at the funeral, hopefully their master plan is, and say, and now please meet our next terminally ill person who will be doing this next.
You know, does Britain have the fascination with death that this country does? Because this country will absolutely lap that up.
In this country, every night we can watch Larry King decompose.
We're moving towards the Roman Empire. We really are.
Yeah,
we really truly are. We are going to.
That's all I got. We're running out of time.
Running man.
Let me tell you one more thing. You know, I'm queer for George Clooney. I love Ocean's 11. They're making Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12 looks great.
Mike, this is going to remind you of the stunt that somebody pulled on you back at WAVA.
Okay.
When they put a love toy in the grill of your car.
Yes, and I had people waving at me, and I thought I was very special when, in fact, this thing was just sticking out of the front of my car.
So, here's how this started. This is a Hollywood story, but I think it's funny. When they go to whatever part in Europe it is to film this part of Ocean's 12, mm-hmm. Brad Pitt says to everybody that he meets, I'm being serious about this. George Clooney is one of these actors that gets into the role, so you must refer to him as Danny Ocean. If he says, knock it off, stop it, all he's doing is challenging you to play act with him. It's how he hones his craft.
Brilliant. Danny Ocean.
So, what happens is, after about 5 days, George Clooney on the set apparently is going out of his mind. Everybody's, you know, so he finds out it was Brad Pitt. Here's how he got back to Brad Pitt.
Oh, good.
They go back to Los Angeles. They're at the airport. They've got their cars there. You know, the plane pulls into the hangar. George Clooney goes over to Brad Pitt's car and puts a bumper sticker on the back of it that says, and I will read it as it is written. The man driving this car.
I love those guys. Brad, you know, it's a little bit of the Rat Pack. It really is.
Yeah. Brad Pitt drove the car for 3 weeks. and the best part is when
he never looked at it.
Hold on. When he described it, he said when people would honk, he thought, hey, I'm Brad Pitt.
That is awesome. I do like, whether it's Oprah or one of those shows that they have one of the group cast talk shows where they bring the whole cast out there, I'd like to see that.
Anyway, that's all.
That's good.
I don't have time to tell you about Kirstie Alley.
Zeta Jones in Ocean's 12, right? She's going to be in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Anyway, Kirstie Alley, you heard this about that...
She's with Ruben Studdard?
No, she gave a she has a possum living in her.
She's from Wichita, you know.
Anyway, as a guest, as a...
What?
She has a possum. She has a pet.
She has a pet. Living in her.
Well, because I was thinking of, you know, possibly. Like, it would crawl out of her or something. Anyway, she's got a possum.
You.
And
big rat.
The possum is not feeling well, so she goes to her publicist and says to her publicist, aren't you having a baby? And the publicist says, yeah. And Kirstie Alley says, how about working the pump for me and give me some milk?
Oh, I'm sorry. That is disgusting.
Anyway, that happens. Yeah, that happened.
That's worse than watching a body decompose.
There was another... Hold on, who's on the phone? God, everything's out of control now. Hotline, hello?
Sugar Bear, sorry to interrupt, but we totally missed what was on the bumper sticker.
Oh, they deleted that out, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You're kidding me.
No, I want to know.
God, you can't say that?
Good she called.
Please, thank you. I'm glad you called me.
Well, the bumper sticker said...
this man has a small...
The man who's driving this car has a small you-know-what.
And we use the clinical word for it.
We use the medical term.
Jesus Christ, let's not go over with the dumping here.
It's not repeated or said for shock value.
No, it wasn't. God. I mean, don't get me going on that. I'm trying to stay away from that.
I know.
But baby, thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad to know now. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Yeah, I know it's dumb. What, now, Joe, are you going to have the explanation on the ruling on this?
No.
Okay, good.
I've just found...
Joe.
I've seen it all on the internet at this point.
Okay.
CMeRod.com.
It's a coffin cam.
This ties into the British show, Joe.
Yeah.
CMeRot.com.
I am convinced that everything is on the internet, and I am teetering near the very edge of it.
You mean you like you're going almost too far?
Yeah.
The evil, the internet, the kind of internet where one day you'll hit that one website that'll like turn you catatonic.
I would also need to know about this thing with Kirstie Alley. The thing is, she first said to her publicist, aren't you going to have a baby? And the publicist said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Kirstie Alley first said, this happened like a week ago, I can't remember, we didn't bring this up. She said, would you breastfeed the baby? And she expected the woman to bring the baby to her breast. The woman saw that this possum had teeth. I mean, sharp teeth.
Wait. Kirstie Alley asked the woman to breastfeed her possum?
I'm not making this up.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I'm not making this up. I've just been waiting all week to talk about it, and then we're running out of time now.
Jesus.
One of the many things I wanted, but now I'm fascinated with CMeRot.com.
Amazing.
And why they're deleting out a perfectly great bumper sticker.
It was a wonderful bumper sticker.
Great bumper sticker, as a matter of fact.
The FCC doesn't have jurisdiction over bumper stickers.
How can we order some of those for Bobby Bacala
and Todd Hughes.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly.
The Don and Mike Show. Crazy in the head and crazy in the bed.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Very quickly, I love working in the radio industry. Radio is in my blood. I've loved it since I was a kid. I'm so proud to tell you that I've been working over 30 years full-time in radio. And No. This is disgusting.
What?
About the Christmas music?
Oh, yeah, radio
now,
stations.
Now, there are radio stations that have already started it.
Yeah, they've already jumped in.
However, I'm now reading this. InsideRadio.com Bulletin. Christmas as hot as ever. Let's see, what markets do we brought? We're not in Detroit. We were in Salt Lake. We are in Reno, and I think we reached Lincoln, Nebraska. Congratulations to those cities, Detroit, Salt Lake, Reno, and Lincoln, and those cities already. There are three separate radio stations in each city playing all Christmas music.
Anybody in D.C. doing it yet?
No, Wash hasn't started it.
Didn't Wash do it earlier last year?
Yeah, well, I think Wash did it last year, Thanksgiving. Was it Thanksgiving earlier last year or later last year? Either way, thank God nobody here is doing it. It was the fourth week last year?
I think so. It always is.
Either way, thank God nobody is doing it yet.
That's pretty funny.
If you live in one of those cities, that's a bad sign for radio, man. And radio is so bad that you got to have three stupid stations playing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Man, they're going to kill Christmas.
On the goddamn 5th of November. Well, let me just say, there is no reason that Santa Claus wouldn't come here.
No?
That was an awful segue.
We'll see.
And also, that's something my wife said that I should stop saying. Whatever I said before that, it's like my crutch phrase.
What, that's an awful segue?
No. Although I do say that a lot, too.
No. What?
Whatever I said before that.
Well, get the tape.
I'm sick, Mike. I don't have time for the tape today.
You sure you don't want to? I mean, then you could work on it over the weekend while you're recuperating. We'll edit all of this out.
I think it's, I don't know.
We're going on the network soon. And when well, we do...
This boy right here knows everything you say. What would his catchphrase be?
His catchphrase?
I think it's
you look marvelous?
No. Listen, guys, let's just call the lady in Colorado. Okay.
There was once a movie called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That was one of the few movies my father ever took me to see.
Really?
I swear to God.
Santa Claus?
I saw it in Silver Spring, Maryland, down by the old WGAY building. My father
took me by myself to two movies. Ice Station Zebra.
And Last Tango with Paris.
That's nice. My dad, you're talking about.
Oh, come
there.
On. Oh, I'm kidding.
Tora, Tora, Tora.
Your mom took you to see the other one. It wasn't your dad. Come on, kid.
Your brain's got this shell on it.
Yes, it does. Today, you're correct. Got a big snot shell on it today. I don't remember what it is I say too much, but I'm sure my wife will tell me when I get home.
Well, I'm not aware of any of your...
No.
Crutch phrases. I'm going to tell you that right now.
All right, call in, Frida, with my crutch phrase.
That's my crutch phrase.
Call in with my crutch phrase. I think I said it. Here's the setup. There's a lady in...
Hey, lady!
A lady in Hooper, Colorado.
Hooper.
And she has a 10-foot lookout platform that she has built in her backyard.
What is it, a stepladder?
So this crazy broad can look for UFOs. She built this massive 10-foot platform.
Massive. My God, it reaches halfway to space.
In the year 2000. And she says now that she's seen UFOs 31 different times. And, she's Americana.
Judy Messoline.
She's what this show is all about.
That's right.
Judy Messoline.
Says Hooper, Colorado is a hotbed of UFO activity. Oh, now with the tower and everything.
We'll give her a couple of notes here. 378. There you go.
A 10-foot tall watchtower.
Yeah. That's quite an erection.
It's amazing.
I mean, it took her a long time to erect that.
Sure.
I'm just testing the dumb people today.
Good afternoon, UFO Watchtower.
Yeah, hey, hi, Judy, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike, who's Don and Mike?
Judy, it's the Don and Mike Radio Show, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Rob, who's that? Was that, hold on just a second, Judy, was that Frida on the phone?
That was indeed the luckiest woman in the world.
Uh-huh.
And your catchphrase, she says it even predates Frida, is that being said.
Yeah, that's what I've said now, that she, every time I say it, she says, stop saying that.
Well, that being said, let's talk to Judy.
And she said I say it on the show all the time as well. That being said.
That as it may.
I agree. You know, loco in the, crazy in the kibbutz.
I kid you not.
Having said that.
We're talking to Judy Messoline.
Hi, yes. Judy.
Hello.
Judy, you built a 10-foot platform. Is it in your front yard or your backyard?
No, it's to the north of the house.
To the north of the house.
Why to the north? Is that the best place for viewing UFOs?
No, that's the place that was all cleared off and didn't have anything on it.
And, Judy, when you went to
Now, don't try to appear normal, Judy.
It's normal. But you can say I'm not. I don't care.
Well, no, Judy, listen, the reason that you're on our show is because you're not normal. I mean, no offense, you seem like a nice enough lady, but you've built a 10-foot lookout platform, and you sit out there in a beach chair and, you know, smoke a Pall Mall cigarette and look at the sky. What do you do?
Yeah.
You nailed it. That's okay. It. Thanks for talking to us. Judy, it says that there have been 31 sightings of extraterrestrial spacecraft from the tower since it was built. So you and have you personally witnessed all 31 of these sightings?
No, I've witnessed 20 of them.
20 of them now.
What, 20 of them.
How do you know what a UFO is?
We don't know if there's little green men on them or not. All I can tell you is they're totally bizarre. And you know, I've started questioning Air Force guys that come in and saying, I've asked them, can our planes go really fast and just stop? And can our planes go really fast and just reverse? They tend to not even think about the plane being able to do it. Think about the body inside the plane, because the body couldn't take that kind of a force.
Wow. Judy, when's the last time you saw one of these UFOs?
Middle of August.
The middle of August?
Yeah.
And describe the classic one that you would see. Exactly what do you see, and tell us what it looks like.
The ones that we see the most, they're lights that are moving across the sky, and then they'll mm-hmm. just stop. And then they go up and down and crossways and in circles, and they change all kinds of colors, and they're bizarre.
Have you ever been hospitalized?
No, but I wish I could. I get a rest then.
Are you a social drinker?
No.
You don't drink?
I don't drink. I don't do pot. I don't do any of that stuff.
Oh, dear. Have
I'm
you thought about
this? I'm a 59-year-old grandma.
You're a 59-year-old grandma.
Yeah.
And you, well, see, I believe, do you believe in UFOs, Don? I do believe in UFOs.
Oh, you were working for one.
I do believe.
Of course. Of course.
We're all working.
But, Judy, when you're up there on your 10-foot lookout platform, it seems to me, I'm no judge of height, you could get up on the roof of a house and be more up in the air than 10 feet. I mean, if you're really going to build a platform, baby,
right?
Build a platform to the stars. I mean, have you thought about
going higher?
Like 15, 20 feet up in the air?
Well, number one, see, I'm afraid of heights. That's number one. Number two, our elevation here is 7,600 feet.
So you're looking down anyway.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, going up another 10 foot, and it's amazing when you get up just that 10 foot, how much closer to everything it puts you.
Do you have any friends, Judy, that, you know...
Well, why don't you just stop right there, Mike? With
do you have any friends, first of all?
First part
do
of
I have
question.
Any friends? Yeah, I've
got. Do they grill you on this? Does anybody give you a hard time about, Judy, come on, there's no such thing, what's going on here?
Well, the people who know me know I don't go around telling stories, so...
So you believe that these are real UFOs?
You know, they're totally different from what I know that we are capable of doing military-wise and with our aircraft.
Judy, please be sharing with me your favorite recipe.
Share what?
Your favorite recipe.
Oh, Texas cake.
What is Texas cake?
How would you make that, ma'am?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay, 2 cups of flour, put 2 cups of sugar, put in a saucepan, a cup of water, a cup of butter, a quarter cup of cocoa. Boil that, pour it over the flour and sugar, and in another bowl, do you really want to know?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes,
absolutely.
More about this than the dumb UFO thing, yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah, right.
Right. Okay. So anyway.
Texas cake.
You had me at Texas cake.
Oh, you want to know what else to do?
Yes.
Okay, in another bowl, you're going to put a half a cup of milk with about 2 tablespoons of vinegar.
Right.
Vinegar.
A teaspoon of baking soda, mm-hmm. and a quarter of a teaspoon of cinnamon, teaspoon of vanilla, and 2 eggs.
I hear the cake is out of this world.
It is.
Sounds delicious.
The scariest thing about this interview is that she knows all those measurements off the top of her head.
Well,
Judy, listen, we always just like calling people who we see in the newspaper who have, got 10-foot lookout platforms in their backyard looking for UFOs.
Is there any particular time of year where you see more of these?
Well, we see more naturally in the summer because we're out more.
Okay.
Naturally.
You know, okay. our winters here are brutal, like 25, 30 below zero.
Wow. But you've seen them in the winter too, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we get
Did you build
all year long? And
did you build the tower because you were seeing them anyway, or did you start seeing them after you built the tower?
That's a good question, Buzz.
That was good.
That's why I said that.
I had never seen anything prior to opening this place.
Wow.
Never expected to. It was all a joke because I'd heard so many UFO stories down here, and I just, from the time we moved here in 95, I'd giggle and say, we need a UFO watchtower.
Julie, would you make us, Judy?
Huh?
Would you mail us a Texas cake, please, Julie? Would you make us?
I
don't think it would survive in the mail.
I think it might.
Sure.
Rob, do you think it would if, like, she wrapped it in foil?
You know what? She could FedEx it.
You could FedEx it.
Could
you FedEx us a Texas cake, Judy? Everybody on the show would sure.
Here's the thing: we're having an absinthe show next week,
and we'd love to have your Texas
cake.
Yeah,
and nothing goes better with absinthe than Texas cake.
So just give it some thought, Judy. Okay.
It's a good cake.
Okay. Well, hold on.
I want a piece of that cake.
Hold on. We'll pay for the FedEx charges. If you would be nice enough to mail us a Texas cake.
We will. If you ship it, we'll pay for all the shipping if you send us the cake.
Oh, you guys are funny.
Yeah, she's not going to make us the cake.
Serious.
I'm going to get a pen and paper.
All right.
And I'm going to write down your address.
Very good. Perfect. God bless you.
And you know what?
What?
You'll be bugging me forever to send another.
Really? Oh, that's why the hesitation. Okay.
Okay, what's the address?
We're going to put you on hold.
Hold on, Judy. Hold on just a second.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Good talking.
That's Judy, the crazy lady with the UFOs.
Uh-huh. Judy Messaline. That's her name, Messaline.
I know. Messaline.
Messaline.
Messaline. She's a crazy lady.
Messaline.
She doesn't sound crazy at all.
No.
She does not sound like some of the UFO wingnuts we've interviewed over the years.
But, you know, it's just great. She said, I never thought we'd see him, so we built the tower.
She built it as a joke, and then she started seeing him.
Yeah. So next week we'll get bombed and we'll have Texas cake.
That'll be and then, you know, of course, what follows that? Well, we can't say that now today. I don't even want to say throw up on the show today.
Hey.
Sorry.
Hey.
Hey.
Ow, don't hurt me.
Iolasia.
Quarter teaspoon of baking soda?
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go.
They mean no disrespect to Oriental.
We don't.
Don and Mike.
Gotcha. Please remember, everybody, watch Nancy Yodel on Access Hollywood. Our friend Nancy Yodel's on Access Hollywood every night at 7:30. Check your local listing.
I TiVo and always.
there was a delayed lie detector.
Truth Squad.
No, I TiVo'd it this morning.
I did. Why do you think I'm lying? I was sitting there and I was doing CSI. I got all the TVs hooked up and the TiVo.
CSI, okay.
And so I did the CSI on the high def.
Right.
And then I did CSI Miami. And then I did Survivor. And I was sitting there, was there one other thing? And I said, well, I've never seen, like, recently since we've had Nancy O'Donnell on the
show. Oh,
there
you go. Okay, all right.
I've never seen Access Hollywood. So
there's the truth serum coming out.
I T-voted.
There you go. Okay. Well, she's a good-looking woman. I think you'll enjoy her part on the show.
That's why I T-voted. I just want to look at her.
If you watched The Apprentice last night, they had the guy on Raj. Now, listen, I don't watch The Apprentice.
It's honest.
But I know that the 20 million people...
You can hit the bell now? Are we going to be doing the rest of the show that way?
Oh.
You don't watch The Apprentice?
That was honest.
Right. Right.
I do.
No works.
However, even though we don't watch it, we know the 20 million of you do every week.
Everybody digs. Lots of people dig this show.
The guy Raj got kicked off last night. Now, I don't know what to ask this guy, so you guys have to please now call 877-365-3636 for what has turned out into the weekly feature, 5 minutes of fame with the loser from The Apprentice.
Last week, whoever went off The Apprentice, I forgot the name, but that person was very, very entertaining.
And this guy, Raj, now Beth Ann does her
best. How's that for research?
Beth Ann does her best to bring me up to speed on this, since she watches this show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and a great CSI last night. I'm glad they brought back the blue paint killer.
Chilling. A really, really chilling CSI. And
really good one.
Well, that was a wonderful, wonderful
episode. I could be on rotyourcorpse.com or whatever that went to. You know, listen, anytime a show starts with maggots.
That's right.
9 o'clock on a Thursday night, you got maggots in like a 100 square foot area.
Uh-huh. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, killers, that guy last night, that's a killer. Chris Elliott. Not a good killer.
No, I agree. Chris Elliott,
not a good killer.
He still is the guy that came up from under the stairs on Letterman. He is still the these pipes are clean.
Too jovial to
cabin
be,
boy.
To and be
yet,
a murderer.
And yet spooky. All at the same time.
Don't you think Chris Elliott?
Don't you find him
No, that's why I didn't enjoy him as the killer, because he just was too jovial.
And now I consider him another one of the Something About Mary guys.
Yes.
Right. And remember, he had all the open sores on his face and everything.
He actually was kind of the psycho guy in Something About Mary, but as a farcical character.
Right.
So now it even damages that credibility to be a killer more.
A good killer might be Biff.
Biff Anderson?
Yeah. He'd be better than...
From the Letterman Show?
Yeah.
Well, that's where Chris Elliott got his start.
Okay, I understand where you're going
not
with that.
Threatening him.
Have a seat, please.
Hey,
Rob. It's not me talking, Rob. It's the NyQuil talk.
I thought Don had the cold.
Right. The Apprentice. So, here is the deal with The Apprentice. Well, I got this way. If I got it, that means he's got it.
Yeah.
And if he's got it, that means the rest of you are going to get it very shortly.
I know. I'm washing my hands always.
I've noticed, but I don't think it's going to help.
No.
The Apprentice, last night. So Raj, apparently he has a job in real estate. The task he's given is to do something that involves real estate. He screws up. Oh. Donald Trump fires him. And then on the way out, Raj tries to pick up the girl that's working at the front desk.
Okay.
On the way out, now he knows that the cameras are on, so as he's leaving and they're filming him leaving the boardroom, as he's at the front desk, he says to the girl, "Hey, incidentally, now that I'm off the show, how about the number?
How about this?"
She doesn't give him the phone number, and the fans of this show, The Apprentice, like Beth Anderson, this is the craziest ending that we've ever seen, even crazier than the one that was supposed to be the craziest one. Oh, I know what it was last week. It was the girl or the guy that got kicked out before the boardroom.
Yeah, well, that was last week.
Right, that was the one that was supposed to be the most incredible. This is now the most incredible ending because this guy, Raj, apparently asked for a date, and also Beth Ann tells me that all of the internet sites for this, everybody's saying that this guy Raj is actually going to be the one contestant that's brought back.
So he looks good for coming back. They always pull that kind of stuff on The Apprentice.
They do. So now we've set it up. Our listeners are standing by with all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is wait for Raj. I think we need some music.
Yeah. Our waiting music? That's a good idea.
I do really want the real waiting music. You know what I want, Rob. Okay, put that one in first, then give me the real Raj music.
Lost the job, lost the girl.
So we'll just...
Do you watch it, Buzz?
Lost his watch, no.
Let's break it. Let's wait.
Oh, I hate reality shows.
A year ago, you said they were the greatest thing that ever happened to us.
I've grown, you haven't.
And he still ain't calling in. Well, this is the problem with these people. That's why it's now going to be 4 minutes of fame. And we're still waiting on it.
Oh, I hate reality shows.
Well, year ago, you said they were the greatest thing that ever happened.
Shut up.
I've grown, you haven't.
Shut up, I think we've done a good job explaining what the show is about. My favorite right here.
I think we got him on the line now. Here we go. From The Apprentice, last night, everybody, it's Raj. Hey, Raj.
How are you, sir?
Hey, dude, we're doing great. Welcome to our feature that we have the day after The Apprentice, 5 minutes of fame. Are you ready to talk to the millions of people from around the country who watched you on The Apprentice last night?
Let us talk to the millions of people from around the country.
Let's go here. It's Chris in New York. Hello, Chris. You're on with Raj.
Hi, Raj.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I was wondering if you think it would be appropriate if Donald Trump hired a person with a disability.
Do you have a disability, sir?
Yeah, I have a disease which causes me to not watch The Apprentice because it's...
Shut up.
Sorry about that. Here's Joe in Maryland. Joe.
That's a serious disease there, Chris.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Ross?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Great. My question is, I mean, we know that The Apprentice is filmed weeks or months ago and they edit, you know, days down to an hour or less of TV. Who do you think has been most misrepresented by the producers or whoever controls this?
Good question. It is.
You know, honest to God, you know, everybody feels at certain points that they get maligned by the editors, and I swear I'm not towing the company line when I say, like, I haven't noticed a huge difference between, you know, how people acted on the show and how they're portrayed. I think some people, you know, definitely are making out great. I think Andy's in terms of portrayal making out, wonderfully. I think, you know, Jen, M is doing well, portrayal-wise. I think Kelly's doing well portrayal-wise. And on the flip side, you had Stacey J and, Jen C that, you know, didn't get, you know, the sort of support. But at the same time, it's sort of, let's say you're dealing with five, and that's the, you know, that's exactly what the case is. Really 2 degrees, you know, right or left of that. But then there's not like, things aren't created out of thin air, and that's the truth.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Lisa in Virginia under the Raj for the Apprentice. Hey, Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, honey. You're on the air.
Okay.
Hi,
was wondering if Raj thinks that Ivana should have been dropped off of that show. She seems to always not really do too much.
You know, I hate speaking ill of people, but, you know, Ivana, I brought her in because in several tasks, Ivana had a tendency to think about covering her behind instead of getting to the task. And if things didn't look like they were going well, she immediately went into damage control mode.
You think there was any chance that the name Ivana was, you know, made the big guy a little sensitive?
That's what I was wondering.
you know what? I'm sure it's in his head at some degree. Whether it's conscious or subconscious, I don't know.
All right, here's Jay, Green Bay. Jay, hey, Jay.
How's it going?
Hi.
Hey, there at the end of the show, you asked for Robin's phone number. Did you ever get it?
I do have Robin's phone number. I'm actively working on a date this evening.
Oh, you did get it.
So you're trying to take that chick out tonight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, but seriously, Rush, how is that going?
You know, it's a bit of a struggle. She has a boyfriend, and, you know, I told him to come along, but we'll see.
Now, there are people who say that you're going to be the first one invited back. Do you think, because they showed that on the show last night, and of course you know the answer, because like all our callers say, you already know the answer, but give me a hint. If you go out tonight with this girl who you obviously have already asked. You may have already had the date with her for all I know. But do you think that will impress Trump that when you got fired, you immediately went outside, hit on the hot chick, and if she goes out with you, do you think that could be his excuse to bring you back?
I'll tell you what, it sure can't hurt. Trump definitely has a passion for beautiful women.
All right, then let me ask a follow-up question to that. Is this asking out, getting the phone number, based on attraction or based on game strategy?
Robin is actually a beautiful girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sitting outside the boardroom for 3 or 4 minutes, not knowing what to do, so I went and talked to the girl.
No, I saw that part.
Good move.
All right, pretty natural. Here we go. A couple more calls before the 5 minutes run out. It's Rick. Rick, you're on with Raj. Rick.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hey.
How are you, Rick?
Hey, tell the truth. You tapped that ass, didn't you?
You tapped her. Here is Mark in Sacramento. Mark.
Hey, Raj, how you doing?
Great, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I was wondering, have you ever sucked jelly out of a jelly donut and filled it?
You know, another prank. Raj, we'd like to welcome you to our listeners.
Our listeners are retarded, Raj. Here is
that guy apparently has sucked some helium.
Here is Wayne. Wayne, Don and Mike Show. Hi, Wayne.
It's Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Raj.
Yes,
hey, how are D and Mama?
What? Oh, I'm so sorry, Raj.
Let's try one more.
We're trying so hard to get a legitimate
here question.
Is Mike. I'm doing well here. I'm doing well.
Let's go to a Mike and
hey, you know what now?
Come on.
No. Turning in,
just for us.
Turning into a crazy, crazy.
This is so embarrassing.
Here is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Yes. Hey, Raj. I've been in real estate for 10 years. I know you're in real estate. You must be a complete moron to remove the bedroom.
Ben, I'm doing better than you, my friend.
Now, what is he making reference to the game?
This is about the challenge that Raj had last night on the show.
I think it's a great question, you idiot.
What is the deal?
The challenge. Now, Raj, your field is real estate.
Wait, is it? Well, yes. The bedroom.
Hey, what? What about the bedroom? What happened? Please, I'm left hanging here.
It was a tiny pygmy bedroom that needed to be removed. So I took it out, and plus I wanted to knock a wall down.
All right. And I think that Trump thought that you could probably get like four or five bedrooms out of the area, and what you did was you expanded it, and am I getting that wrong? That
you know, it was the bedroom was literally maybe 8x8. You could have pulled a cot into it. I mean, it was a walk-in closet.
But you can charge more for the extra room, right?
Hey, look, I lost you, Raj.
Yeah, hold on, Ben. What else do you want to say to Raj?
Why did he just make it a zero bedroom and make one huge bedroom?
Well, you know, maybe I should have done that. It would have been an interesting strategy, Ben.
Well, everybody can second guess.
All right, listen, pound sand, Ben. Nice talking to you, Ben. And Raj, how many times have you been interviewed today? Like 1,000 times already?
Yeah. This is the end of a long day of interviewing.
And everybody asks you the same thing. Have you told anybody the truth about anything? I mean, as far as if you're going to be back on the show or...
No, you know, I think I'm going to be back. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be back.
All
I
right.
think I might win the whole damn thing.
All right,
wow. Very good.
All right, I'll take that. Right, thank you.
And,
right.
I do love the asking out of the receptionist.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Smooth move.
That's right.
And how long have you been married to that bow tie?
Not married. You know, the bow tie is an on and off thing. I wear it probably half the time, but probably since the middle of high school.
Probably more off than on. Just one man's humble opinion.
Yeah, you give him a little tip, you know.
Watch you on
TV.
Thank
you. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for being on the show.
Take care, gentlemen.
All right, good luck.
That's Raj from The Apprentice, everybody.
That's the music I was looking for, incidentally, for Raj.
And what high schooler doesn't love to wear a bow tie?
Oh, man. Wear that in my high school. You end up in a dumpster.
Yeah, they use it as a noose.
I don't even watch the show. I saw the highlights today, but I bet that that's how it plays out.
Where'd you see the highlights?
From Beth Ann McBride.
Oh, okay.
At her home?
That's right. In bed this morning, she was rubbing this Vapo Rub all over me. That's when I saw the highlights.
Okay.
Why?
I want to see the highlights.
Show meeting started too.
Okay.
What time did you get here today?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'll just be over here like I always am.
Oh, come on.
I'll just be over here not seeing the... You know, you say you don't watch the show, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, when you did that bedroom, and I was like, wait a second, how did he have that information? I got extremely jealous.
Well, don't get jealous. Get here 15 minutes earlier.
Well, tell me there's an apprentice show at 15.
I didn't
15.
Know.
Oh, come in and do it.
I'm here every day at the same time.
Let me see. 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Uh-huh.
Apprentice highlights, not apprentice highlights.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Yeah, I know. I know that's the answer, so don't sweat.
No, not a chance.
You did fine without seeing
me. Yes, Beth, I'll need you to drive out to the house.
To bring you the tank.
She yes, will, yes, too. Yeah. When I wake up at 11.
Right out on a bicycle. No cars allowed. Just bicycle all the way out.
Bingo!
We'll be right back with my man Rich Eisen coming up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. They're not cheap, just thoughtless. Don and Mike.
All right, and let's... Say hi to some affiliates. Baltimore, 105.7 Live, 105. Tampa Bay, 1010, The Buzz.
Yeah, starting to long for that Tampa Bay weather already.
Las Vegas, KSFM, and in Dallas. Online, 105.3. Oh, Rich Eisen time.
Hey.
Simon, let me... just talk this one up. Send this one out to Rich and the crew at NFL Films in Los Angeles. Yeah, that's Tavares. And now here is Rich's music.
Right.
Rich Eisen, brought to us by Tower Records and Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of movies and music. We love the Tower. Rich's show, NFL Total Access, every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. And here he is now. Hey, Rich.
How you guys doing?
What's happening, dude?
Get ready for week 9, my friend.
As am I, my friend. And, Rich, have you ever noticed that is maybe the phoniest, show-busiest thing
to say to somebody. We picked it up a long time ago on the Jerry Lewis telethon with Wayne Newton.
It's got to be Wayne Newton. And nobody does it better than Wayne Newton.
I think the most fake thing to say is, I'll look into that.
I love Wayne, but when you hear it from Wayne Newton, it's really special. For you, my friend.
For you,
my friend.
For you, my friend.
My friend.
Do we have any other stage, Robbie?
Yeah, we've got an actual example of this.
Can you find some?
You got it for me?
There was a time that we were on a kick like 5 or 6 years ago that everything was...
I just got back from my appearance at the Sands.
Oh, here we go.
And here it is. Wait a minute.
A gentleman who has helped me on this show more years than I've...
I got to hear the whole beginning thing?
I got to hear the whole Jerry Lewis ramp up.
To please open the show for me and give me some of that.
You know what? He doesn't say my friend for another minute and 10 seconds.
Oh, great.
I'll let that roll, and we will come back to that. Rich,
yeah.
This week in the NFL, you've got the cream rising to the top. You've got the great teams that are great, the mediocre teams mediocre. Like I wrote you in that email today. Dude, this T.O. thing, I really think we should talk about, and here's why. I know there's a lot of interest in Baltimore with the Ravens with us, and I'm watching on Rich's show. Let me see if I can outline this correctly, and then if Rich would please be commenting on this.
Yes.
That T.O. catches the touchdown pass last week and does the Ray Lewis dance.
Yes.
Then Ray Lewis, after the game, and I think we mentioned this even before I saw this on Rich's show on Monday, I saw Ray Ray on TV saying, hey, this is, you know, that ain't cool.
Why is he so concerned with me?
Yeah, right. That he's treating me like a woman. Then T.O. comes out and says, listen, I don't want to say anything, but anybody remember that Ray Lewis was in a high-profile murder case, and now he's been cleaned up, and the NFL really loves him, and I've never been in trouble, and people hate me because all I do is score touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Then it seems like it's going to go away,
right?
And they talked to a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who the Eagles play this week. They talked to Joey Porter, the linebacker. Joey Porter says, hey, I think Terrell Owens is right.
Wow.
That there's a double standard.
Right.
Well, I have to correct your timeline a little bit there.
Okay. All right. That's why you're here to help, because I never get the facts right.
No.
my friend. Hold on. Do we have it?
Well, my friend, that's why I'm here for.
Hold on, my friend. We think we got it.
We got it?
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Where is it?
Thank you. I've been watching. Not only did I have the pleasure
of being asked
to open the telethon, but I've been watching it most of the night, except when I was on stage myself at the Sands. And it occurred to me, knowing the beating that this man takes every year, being here all these hours, in addition to the wonderful press that he has
he's gonna
to
say my friend
throughout the year, right. I picked two songs that we dedicate to the man here. And most of the time we dedicate these songs to you. But I think you kind of fit in, too. We hope you agree. For you, my friend.
Isn't that great?
You had to have the example of it coming out of Wayne Newton's.
You got to, and the ramp up is really.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a tone setter. There's no doubt about it.
For you, my friend. And
one of my favorite Vegas moments I've ever witnessed was I went to Caesars with my brother and sister-in-law years ago, and saw George Burns, and the act opening for George was Florence Henderson.
Oh, wow.
Who came out, sang Put on a Happy Face, and I quote directly here, thanks to the good people at Wesson Oil for making it all possible.
Oh, God.
And that's another one you got, my friend, but the good people at.
The good people at. Wow.
Normally you won't hear it come out and say, and my thanks to the bastard people at Wesson. You don't hear that. But.
And incidentally, no matter what year that was, Rich, no matter how you try to polish that turd, let's face the fact, you're at a show with George Burns and the
Orange Emporium. George Burns, who's glorious. The only better one I ever was at the old Hacienda, which has been blown to smithereens. Slappy White opening for Red Fox during a musician strike. So the 80-year-old vaudevillian who came out and tap danced in between both acts, the musical accompaniment was really Red Fox and Slappy White making trombone noises with their lips.
I'd pay $1 million to see them.
That is entertaining.
That is entertaining.
My friend.
Listen, my friend.
Where were we before the insanity broke out? Oh, yes, the T.O. timeline.
Yes, set everything straight.
The only difference was Joey Porter made his comments first. He made them in a newspaper on Tuesday in Pittsburgh. I forget which one, but he mentioned, you know, ramping up for the Eagles game, was asked about T.O.
And he said that he actually didn't mind T.O. celebrations, which I would think is the majority of the players in this league believe that you don't like it, keep him out of the end zone. That's the general gist. They don't view it as T.O. ripping at the social fabric and perhaps creating a bad example for kids, et cetera, which is the other side of this coin. But that said, Joey Porter was the one who brought up Ray Lewis and his past troubles. As you know, Joey Porter and Ray Lewis have had several run-ins in the last few years. And Joey was the one who brought up Lewis's past troubles and how he has rehabilitated his image, much to the delight of many members of the media in their mind and the league. And T.O. was just basically echoing, as he said a couple of times, he prefaced his comments that he made about Ray Lewis. As Joey's brought it up. So now that he's had it out there, yeah, you know, that's something I've always wanted to say, et cetera, and that's how it worked.
Well, that's what I saw, and, you know, I think that there's a bit of validity to what T.O. is saying, that, you know, let's face it, who doesn't, even if you think the guy's a jerk, I think doing the sit-ups in the end zone is funny. I thought the Sharpie thing is funny.
Yeah, and what Rich just said, you know, keeping him out of the end zone, the bottom line is, I mean, the guy, the physical courage alone to do that, I mean, you realize when you're a wide receiver, you're going across the middle, the chances, you know, there's always that chance that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna have your head separated from your body.
Well,
and
the only
the guy
thing
doing...
that I hear you. The only thing that I take issue with is, you know, is what we in the media always say, and what a lot of people in this country believe is in second chances. And Ray Lewis made the most of his. I mean, and he is not wearing that as a badge either. You know, he's not going around saying, look at how I've cleaned up my act. He's just going about his life and living it in a certain way. So, I mean, it's just, it's definitely something that I don't know why he had to bring up. And especially in the light of how is Terrell Owens a victim? I don't understand how he views himself as a victim here.
And well, the thing is, isn't the NFL
the man is going to wind up potentially in third place on the all-time reception touchdowns list by the end of the season. He's on every cover. His book is shooting up the Amazon charts.
Here's the only question I'd have for you, Rich, is
so how is the guy victimized? Okay. I don't understand.
I'll just play devil's advocate with Terrell Owens for a second. How many times on your show on NFL Total Access do you use a clip of Terrell Owens?
Do you
use the clips of and around the league are the clips of Terrell Owens used?
That sells. That's why it all started.
But I think with Terrell Owens,
my point is that the man's not wanting for exposure. He's not wanting for respect. I mean, maybe he is wanting for respect in the fact that he's vilified in all these places that he's going to go to. He's a lightning rod for attention, which some people don't like. Some people always like seeing those people knocked down a peg. And, you know, he's outrageously candid when asked a question about Jeff Garcia, but he has to go in places where he doesn't have to, you know, just under the guise of, well, I'm just being candid.
Yeah, well, that's the trash talk climate that I think exists in the NFL right now.
Sure.
That is really...
In all of our sports,
all of our sports, but you see it a lot more in the NFL than you've seen it in years past, and I think when you have that climate, it's going to continue to spiral, and it's going to get down towards the gutter more and more and more, and, you know, I don't know whether that can be, people can step in, but where that starts, if you look at it, it starts with the type of stuff that T.O. does in the end zone, in my opinion.
Well, and we've seen it more than we're going to keep seeing it.
Right.
I mean, like I said, he's on pace for a 21 touchdown season, which means at the season's end, if he does do that, not only will the Eagles obviously be in the playoffs in a very good position in the playoffs, but that said, it will go Jerry Rice, Chris Carter, and then him on the all-time list.
Yeah.
And there's no denying his greatness on the field, and there's no denying his greatness in terms of being great to talk about. That's my question, is other than the fact that he's going to go into all these visiting towns and be vilified by the fans, I mean, the only thing I can say to that is if you are going to be candid and you are going to attract attention to yourself, the bottom line in this society and anywhere probably in the world is, you know, people are not going to like that. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I see is that people love to hate him, and that's, I think he feeds off it too.
I want to say the more people that, and the more he does that in the NFL, there are more teams, and this is behind the scenes where the guys are, you know, there's one good way to shut the guy up, and that is, you know, number one, keep him out of the end zone. Number two, you know, give him a hit that he won't forget real soon. I think
that's basically, I think we, from what I've heard, on this show, and from what I've read and gathering information for this show, is the general prevailing thought of all players in this league. I don't think there's a – I have not heard a player says, you know what? I mean, there were some players in the Ravens that thought he was out of line doing that. But, I mean, most players are, you either find it funny or entertaining for a league that they think needs a little loosening up. Or they take the thought, you know what? You don't want to see it. Then keep him out of the end zone.
Right. Yeah. Amen. All right. That's all about that. But everybody's talking about that, Rich.
It's a fascinating discussion because it involves not only football but also social issues, you know, where people feel that he's tearing, like him and when Joe Horn whipped out the prop,
it's
tearing at the social fabric.
Well, okay,
then
I'll take it one step further. What is the difference between Terrell Owens pulling out a Sharpie and doing sit-ups, and when the Redskins won all the Super Bowls when you had the fun bunch?
The fun bunch was, yes, planned spontaneity, but I think once it's crossing a threshold when you involve props. When you involve objects as a prop, I think it crosses another threshold, basically.
In the NFL now, though, it's gone to every play. It seems that every play, and I'm not talking just about T.O. in the end zone, I'm talking about guys make a tackle, and they have this incredible celebration, and I think it's gotten completely out of hand. It's ridiculous, because I think when if you score a touchdown, it's one thing. If you're doing your job, and you're up there, I think the celebrating is crazy. They tried to clamp down on it way back when Gastineau was doing it. It seems like it's going back in the other direction.
Well, I agree with you that you do see it quite a bit, but not to just paint everybody with the same broad stroke. There are some players out there for whom this is just not their cup of tea.
Yeah,
they will hand the ball back. There are still a lot of players out there like that. I mean, Terrell Davis said that he thought this was funny with T.O., and he pointed out the fact that, when he was on the road many times in his career, when the teams were whipping up on the Broncos, he would look up in the stands and people were giving him the salute. And other players, when they got in the end zone, they did the salute. And he said, he just took it as the right back at you. And what are you going to do? So, I mean, that said, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think Terrell Owens is in position. He's like, he could be the most famous player in the league right now. People know who he is. His book's out there. And on top of it, he is walking the walk.
So. That's the most important thing. My friend, last question on this. What if they lose? What if the Eagles lose 3 or 4? Your feeling when you talk with people in the league and in the team, will the team at some point, if they lose a bunch of games and he's still doing this stuff, at that point does the team start to say, hey, you shut up?
If they're losing, I would imagine that means he's not getting in the end zone and you're not seeing that, which would lead me to believe that if something like that does come about, it's because he's being more vocal about, get me the ball and stuff like that. But that's totally hypothetical, and you never know what's going to happen if they do lose a couple.
They lose a couple, he'll blame the quarterback.
I don't think he'd ever go there either. I mean, it's just you can't be hypothetical in those situations. And the fact that they haven't lost that many in a row, and they lost none in a row. If they can't either, so you know what I'm saying.
I think just
take it as it comes. And right now, the team is. Overwhelmingly fine with the current situation, at least publicly. I mean, privately, a couple people might want the ball more. I mean, privately, a couple people might be saying, I wish we didn't have to answer these questions. But as long as we're 7-0 and he's got 9 touchdown catches, I think all things are hunky-dory.
Well, I did not, I'm sorry to open this can of worms. We spent almost all this time on T.O. and we should at least spend some time on the magnificence that is the acting ability of Rich Eisen. The commercials that they run. Now, he's in the commercial where he's in the house with all the football players for the merchandise, and then Rich is in the other one for the newlywed game, and as the season goes on, the commercials expand, and in the new one, now, this is kind of funny because it's Kurt Warner sitting there with Eli Manning, and Rich has a starring role in this, in which he's wearing the fake wig, and he's got the bad suit on, but, like, the joke that's even inside the joke is that by this point in the season, everybody thought Eli Manning would be starting, and like the jokes are kind of written that way.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, what kind of response do you get to those commercials? Because those are funny commercials.
The people who do our commercials are I can't sing their praises enough. We think they're the most you know, humorous and cutting.
Are they the good
television
people?
Television commercials on the air right now.
Are they the good people, Rich?
They're the good people. The good people.
My friend.
Network's promotional department is really doing a great job.
For instance, how do you
I consider them my friends. They're my friends.
Like, just one of the spots, and then we'll get to the picks. One of my favorite spots is the one you've got Jim Mora sitting next to Mike Vick.
Right, yeah, and with their favorite red zone play.
Yeah, and it's like on the Newlywed Game, they got the answers in the lap, and Rich says, what's the play? And Vick, and it's a pretty good acting job, but Mike Vick, he goes something like, Royal Cross backfield 42, and Mora holds the card up, and they go, yay!
Well, Mora's good, too, because he looks at him, so he gives him sort of the look like, come on, you know the answer. You know what you're supposed to do. Just like the old Newlywed Game, when they're just like, come on, you know the answer to this. You know I know the answer to this, and then he starts getting excited as he's saying the answers. Really genius on Jim Mora's part, too, and just shows how excited are we? I mean, we celebrated our first anniversary yesterday. We were 1 year old.
Wow.
Bravo.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I
know I promoted myself, but we were 1 year old yesterday, and it just shows how the players and the coaches, they sort of get it. They know what we're trying to do, and they want to be part of it, so we're excited.
The thing is, when I watch your show, and you must get this from these people, like when you have Jim Belushi's on, okay?
Yeah.
And he's doing the picks. But the one thing that Jim Belushi says that I agree with, he's sitting there, he's saying to Rich Eisen on camera, I want to say thanks for this show.
Yeah.
Thanks for this network. Rich, you don't know how many guys there are like me that are nuts that will go home. I will watch an hour of NFL news every day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Every single friggin' day.
Well, we thank you for that, sir, spreading the word of this show. We've got Mark Helgenberger of CSI coming in.
Oh, no.
Baby.
It's a true story.
Wow.
He'll be walking through that door in about 10 minutes.
All right, we'll let you go. Let's pick the games. And here we go with 5 games this week.
5 games, yeah. The Keystone State. We start Philly-Pittsburgh.
Philly versus Pittsburgh. Boy, oh boy. That's at Pittsburgh?
Yes, sir.
I'll take the Steelers because I do believe in the Steelers.
Philadelphia goes to 8-0. Nothing's going to stop them.
Really?
Yeah.
We have Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell on the show tonight to actually break it all down. That's a true story. I'm not joking.
Really, my friend?
True story. New England at St. Louis.
big. I think this is big. Because I'm going to take the St. Louis Rams to beat New England.
I like this week. I think you're making it easier for me this week. I'm going to go with the Patriots. The Patriots are going to get over that World Series win hangover.
Those two road wins there for you. There, Redskins at Lions.
But hold on. If we could go back just for a second to England. Ty Law will not play this week, right?
Yes, neither will Ty Poole. They lost all their ties. They have no ties. They cut their ties.
So who are they? Hold on a second. Who are they going to start then? I mean,
I have no idea.
They start. Okay, what's our next game?
Asante Samuel probably, and I don't know.
Well, then St. Louis will get throw for 300 yards. Next game.
Redskins at Lions.
So easy. Lions.
Ravens at Browns.
Ravens. Mike, we're not on in Cleveland.
I'm going to go with the Browns.
Oh, boy. Colts and Vikings.
Okay, that's the big game of the week. Will Randy Moss play? You know, I think the Vikings will lose to the Colts. I'll take the Colts.
I'll go with the Vikings. I'm looking forward to this week. This is going to be fun to watch.
Well, we're
going to see our results.
I think I might have misspoken. It's at Baltimore. It's Cleveland at Baltimore.
You know, I wish I could go back and change that.
Yeah, I wish you could, but unfortunately, I have to take your ass.
You're absolutely right. It is. Rich, have a great week of shows. We'll talk to you next
week.
Friday. You got it.
All right.
Thanks. Bye, my friend.
Goodbye, my friend.
There he goes. That's Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. This is brought to us by Tower Records and Tower.com. Your only source for music and movies. Every store is staffed with experts. Help you find your new favorite CD or DVD. Now on Divid Shrek 2, the biggest Divid release of the year. It's on sale now at Tower. Relax and do all your holiday shopping at Tower. Tower has the stuff everyone wants. You're not sure, get a gift card online or at your local Tower store at Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth watching is here. Rich Eisen's NFL Total Access every night, 7 and 10 on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I like that guy.
He's coming out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah, I like him. Naturally funny man.
Yeah, he is.
He is my friend.
My friend. Hello, my friend. Yeah, he's good. Rich Eisen. And now, phone scan. It's going to be a super terrific happy phone scam.
Yay. Yes, of course it is.
But we don't have an alarm clock this Friday.
Yay. Oh, what a shame.
However, we might be able to work something on the horse.
Absolutely.
Just be warned. Either way, all right, you animals, now's the time to call. With your unscreened calls, last phone scan of the week, 877-365-3636.
And it's a phone scan of what I call super happy time.
And if you're calling from Canada, I know what that means. Call 800-636-1067. EC202-432-1067. Super happy time means...
That means that we're going to pay tribute to the good people that listen to this show.
They might not all be people who don't have anything to do on Friday night.
I'm looking forward to it like I've never looked forward to anything before in my life.
These very well may be people with full, rich, productive lives calling to converse with us about the events of the day.
I'm the one that called them the good people.
Right. Our friends.
I'm waiting for them.
You did, my friend.
I'm waiting for them, my friend.
Be right back with your calls.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
On the inner loop of the Beltway, we are still seeing delays from River Road to the Northwest Branch out of Lipsburg from Eisenhower Avenue to the Woodrow-Wilson Bridge. Did you know radiator system failure is a major cause of roadside breakdowns? Have your neighborhood Jiffy Lube technician service your radiator today and keep your car running like a well-oiled machine. I'm Michelle Hughes for the Don and DeMike Show on WJFK.
CBS Tonight on a new Joan of Arcadia. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't point your finger at me, woman. You're the one who parks him in front of the TV and makes him watch all them Muppets. They got frogs kissing pigs. What the hell did they think was going to happen?
We are not going to get anywhere by attacking each other. We have to do the sensible thing. We'll move to Berlin.
What?
Bobby will be accepted there. I read somewhere that Germans, they're very tolerant people. Their culture admires all kinds of freaks.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Juretzek from Germany.
Germany.
Never forget the Don and Mike Show.
Right.
After you let the air out of the balloon, all that you're left with is the latex and the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Here we go with the phone scan. 877-365-3636. That's from America.
Tell me, doctor, where are we going?
We're going to have a new one this week. So just at some point, we'll just bring out the ones from the previous 2 weeks.
That's a good one.
Remember that one, of course.
That's the one that says good morning.
Oh, they both do.
Good morning.
And then there was the Hello Kitty one.
Didn't that one say something different?
No, it says good morning as well.
They both say good morning.
And then together, if I said them both for 10
seconds. Oh, here we go.
Lord, yes.
It worked. Yeah, they both said it at the same time.
So we do have
pick which one you like the best.
Oh, gosh, Mike.
Well, that's asking too much.
I'm going to have to hear them again. Oh, did I break one? Oh, hold on. Well, let's start the phone scan.
Like having to choose a favorite child.
877-365-3636.
Right.
Phone scan. It will be super happy and terrific because we do have the alarm clock.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. This is the phone scan. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Working great.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi, we are. Hi there.
Hey, you guys seem to have such a deep level of joy and connectedness. I was just wondering if Dr. Neil Clark Warren has anything to do with that.
Well, now you know our secret.
Yeah, he does.
To 20 years of compatibility and success. Thanks, Doc.
That's what I...
It's the soft touch.
Yeah, and you know, initially I was trying to find radio partners by just using a picture and a paragraph.
And Mike found my message when it said, if 8 pills is a hassle for you every day.
And that was it, because he was taking 2 and so was I.
For our herpes. when we met for our
gay... both herpetic.
We met for our gay love tryst that turned into a fantastic radio partnership.
Incredible.
On eHarmony.com. And what's funny is...
Thank you, Dr. Neil Clark Warren.
We met there 20 years ago before Al Gore even invented the internet.
Yeah, it's a true phenomenon. I love him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, which gal would you do on Survivor?
Oh, the one that was leaning up against Sarge last night.
See, here's the thing, though, on Survivor, you can't tell because
Twyla,
because they're all so dirty. When you see them after they get kicked off the show, when they make the rounds,
right?
They're all cleaned up and they look real good.
The easy one is that one that was showing her butt next to Sarge. That sexy model.
Mm-hmm. You know who I still fantasize about from previous Survivors?
Way down upon the Herbert River, far, far away. Well, I've got sand in every nook and cranny. Pants are wet all day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, if you're thinking about the women I would do, it would be Twyla and Scout. There they are. Those are my two choices.
Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan. Oh, turn your radio down. Forget it. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
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 Yes, hello.
How you doing?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What do you want? What do you want?
Hey, did you guys see the OC last night?
Hold on. Let me check and see if I'm a faggot. Nope. Sorry. Didn't. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, please. Every call is taking this long.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
This is Izzy Heller.
This is who?
Izzy Heller.
Izzy Heller.
Now may be a good time to sell.
What is he?
Now may be a good time to sell.
To sell what? Body parts? Blood? What?
Your diamonds.
Is the Heller. Oh, it's a diamond commercial.
Oh, really? I don't get it.
That's right. No, it's an obscure. Oh, you know, okay. You really got to go with the Mervis brothers if you're going to be the. But the Heller's fine.
Hello.
You know, one thing we don't do is diss a jewelry store on this show.
That's right.
Because we got all of them.
We are the friend of the jewelers.
Absolutely.
Don and Mike show. Hello, except for Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a problem with the first three letters of the product.
I don't know what it is.
I don't even wear a ring.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there, honey.
Hi.
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 What can we do for you?
You know what? I actually forgot why I called.
Yeah, it happens. Right,
well, hey, it's Friday.
Listen to this.
I'll give you a moment. I'll give you 10 seconds to think about it. No.
Can I talk to Buzz?
Oh.
Good morning.
Yeah, you want to talk to Buzz now. Is that why you called?
Yes, he's here. Go ahead.
What would you like to ask?
Would you like some private time?
Yeah, actually, that would be great.
Would you like some mood music for it?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, baby. Here he is.
Hey, baby.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, what's up with you?
Oh, not much. So what are you going to be doing this weekend?
No, I'm sorry. The woman is asexual.
Yeah.
She's not even. She's not cooling even with Buzz's warm tone.
Not seductive enough. Really?
I'm sorry. I need more.
This is the first time Buzz has ever turned away a female caller.
She's incredibly frigid. I need to hear desire.
Can I say something to you, lady?
What?
I don't mind sloppy seconds. Nobody ever... I'm sick as a dog. Nobody ever calls to say...
Why don't you give Don a little love?
I really hope you feel better, Don.
I don't want your love, you whore.
No. Well, that didn't go well at
all. Why would you think? I was only kidding. I know.
No, I mean the whole thing.
My bad. I was only kidding about I want your sloppy second.
I know.
Please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
I'll take my perfectly clean nevers as opposed to your sloppy second.
Squeaky clean nevers.
Hello, Don and Mike. I live in a house that never built. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You're on the air.
What's up?
Track lighting.
I just wanted to say... that I love your show, first of all.
Yes.
You guys inspire me.
Really?
Buzz?
Yeah. You inspire me as well. However, somehow I stop the urge every day after the show to drive right up to somebody and maybe even mash them into the embankment on my way home.
No, that's okay.
You inspire me to kill.
Pick a bell.
What?
So Friday phone scan. I'd like to thank the good people that are calling on the phone scan.
That's why I'm very inspired when I leave here on Fridays. And thank God there's not a lot of people walking on the street past the radio station.
Could be very dangerous.
Yeah. Don and Mike show, hello. And incidentally, no court in the land would find me guilty.
Not a single one. Absolutely. You would
I'd be like Scott Peterson.
You'd be using the TTH defense.
Which is?
It's in the herd. Thank you, Rob. Thank
hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you are on the air.
Hey, just want to say in the quote of my new favorite movie, Don.
Yeah.
You had me at D's F A holes.
Okay.
Don't even know. You had me. It was a Jerry Maguire thing.
I'm not really sure. I'm listening more carefully than I normally listen. Right. I'm paying more attention than I normally pay. And I'm not getting it.
No.
I'm not getting these sketches.
That's why it's a good thing we got the super happy, terrific good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
The pre-I don't have a date sketches.
Hello, it's Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi there. You are on the air.
How are you, guys?
How are you?
How are you anyway? What do you want?
Not bad. Hey, I want to ask you something. Your son goes to Auburn, correct?
Just burp. My apologies. I'm not well.
A sick burp. No, his son goes to Clemson.
But that's very close.
Clemson.
That's very close. They both end with the letter N.
I'm sorry about that.
So hey, am no. I. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hi.
Oh, fine. What can we do for you?
Nothing much. I was just wondering, do you know what Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen look like? It's not a joke.
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke. I'm just going to tell you what they look like.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
The little troll dolls.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, from a couple years ago?
Now, we called those Kewpie dolls.
They were trolls.
They're trolls?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They had little dolls in their stomachs.
I know they were trolls. I call them Kewpie dolls. I don't know why, but they were the ones with the wild hair, and they kind of had the big, big features.
In my mind, Kewpie dolls were like Betty Boop on steroids.
Kewpie dolls had big eyes.
That's right. I was wrong about it.
The troll was really more of a monster looking.
Do they still make trolls?
They're built by the Dam Corporation.
Yeah, I don't think they do anymore.
No, you know what? They do, but they don't make big full size trolls anymore. They make tiny ones like the kind that you put a quarter into at the Giant or Safeway to get it out of that vending machine type thing.
Trollettes.
I'm trying to get a picture of the Olsons because I'm in one of those magazines here.
But you're right.
Oh, yeah. You have to think of when they were younger. They look more like that.
Always do.
All right.
You think about the Olsons when you're often?
What was that?
Forget it. Don't worry.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hello. Hello. There's Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
You're on Doss's Garage.
Rob loved that.
Get out of town.
Tomorrow,
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, Pat.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Welcome to the toughest part of our day, the easiest part of most radio shows' days.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you find a picture of, Mike?
One of the Olsen girls right there. One of the maturing Olsen girls.
Oh, Ashley Olsen.
Actually, not bad.
There she is.
Not so troll-like.
Yeah, very true.
Not as good-looking as Mrs. Olsen from Little House on the Prairie.
But then... Man, you finally worked it in.
Hello.
You forgot.
See you at the Mercantile. Hello, Don and Mike.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing fine. You see, Rob and I enjoy the wholesome family. This will surprise you.
Uh-huh.
We both enjoy the wholesome family values of Little House on the Prairie. And I'll tell you the truth. Our worlds were rocked when TBS took off the dual 2-hour presentation every day.
9:05 and 10:05.
They took it off for, believe this, Dawson's Creek.
And that's when you guys both took up tennis.
except for the tennis part.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hi, it's going great.
Whatever happened to the Mary Tyler Moore thing you guys used to play at the end of the show?
You know, that's a very dumb question.
Well, thank you.
I'll be glad to give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is that we have to get the show done by 5 minutes till. Where are you calling from? Canada, I'm guessing, by the dumb accent.
Thank you.
But did I nail it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So the show ends in Canada at 5 till 7. If we come real close to the 5 minutes till 7 thing, we can't be wasting time playing like the goodbye tapes.
So we kind of streamlined it, and then we do that occasionally with the front and the back. The show's ever-changing.
Always changing. To give you more quality all-American entertainment.
Plus the royalties we had to pay to MTM Productions. They were killing us.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Good afternoon.
Wow. Hi there. Where are you calling from, Iraq?
I'm calling from California there, my brother.
Is it windy out where you are right now?
Yeah, I'm in construction, so, you know, I'm outdoors. Hey, I had a quick question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
Okay, on the same affiliate that we have here, it's 1230 in Bakersfield, AM 1230.
KGEO, right?
That's right. And there's a show that comes on after you guys, and he was reading an email yesterday that he received from Beth Ann McBride. I think they've got a little something going on behind your backs, and I kind of wanted to expose it so you can give her a call and ask her about it.
All right, hold on. I'll call her now and ask her if she's been emailing another DJ.
Hello?
Have you been emailing a DJ in Bakersfield?
Oh, Puck.
Oh.
Is he strikingly handsome? Well, what's going on?
Like Paul Gorgi? What, have you been emailing this DJ at our station in Bakersfield?
He started with an email to me. And then because I wanted, ever since I've been doing the promo, I figured he's such an active program director at one of the affiliates.
Oh, he's the program director.
I wanted to
director.
Let him know, hey, I'm doing a promo every day. I'd like you to tell me what you think, want some feedback. That's all it was.
Well, what's this guy calling about?
Well, that's not how he put it yesterday on his show.
What did he say?
He put his ear, he read her email,
yes.
And then he started saying stuff like, you know, he said he's kind of a big guy. And he was thinking that maybe, you know, he was saying that Beth Ann was very attractive and that maybe they had a future. Maybe they were going to meet up. That's how he was saying it on the radio.
Beth Ann, anything you sent to this guy, what's his name, Puck?
Yeah, Puck.
How many guys?
Beth Ann, would that be? Would you have sent anything to him that would be of a suggestive nature?
You sent him your nude photos?
I sent them to Paul.
Paul Gorgi.
No, it was perfectly all, you know.
Above board?
Right. Yeah, business.
You weren't leading him on?
You guys are, have I let anyone on? No.
Constantly.
I'm like an ice.
Beth Ann?
Yes.
I'm feeling kind of led on right now.
No!
See? She can't help herself. All right, goodbye, B.A.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, oh boy.
She's
try to keep a lid on that sexuality, Beth Ann.
Just bubbling. Well, you know, it's 12 hours, 13 hours a day?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, she's got a lot of pent-up energy.
You get a lot of that energy out.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Boy, think about that. It's 6 o'clock on Friday night. She's going to be back here, like, in 12 hours.
Right.
I'm serious. Yeah. Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, she'll be here.
That must be great.
Why?
But I heard Puck will be online.
We don't know why. I don't know, because she loves her job. Hello, Don and Mike show. Are you there?
Hey, how are you anyway?
How are you anyway?
Hey, I was wondering if in about a year or so, if the name of the show is going to change to the Don and Mike Breakfast Club. Is that true?
Oh, you're so astute, Kreskin. I think you have to stay tuned for more details on that.
I would keep abreast of the time.
It won't be called that.
Look what happened. The alarm went off.
Huh. Only because at the end of the alarm he said, good morning.
Good morning.
We might play that if we ever had a morning show. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. All this talk of with the Monday Night Football and stuff just made me want to share my ringtone with you.
You have a ringtone?
Sure, go ahead. Who's talking about Monday Night Football?
Well, you got to talk about ringtones earlier this week, and so I figured I'd share with you one I made.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
That's a great ringtone.
You know, I know you can go online and get the Fox one.
Uh-huh. That's better, though. This one. The original Monday Night Football.
I would go with the Fox. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, that's another good choice.
I do have the one for Fox, but I don't have it downloaded on my phone right now.
But that really is on your phone?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Have a good day.
Well, Robin,
how does he get that kind of fidelity?
The same way that you can, we had the guy from Billboard on, way that you could download Jay-Z or whatever it is.
Think how good that fidelity was, though. He was playing that down the line.
Right. When we record this show in the back room, we don't get that kind of quality.
Oh. I know. Hello, Donna Mike show. Please.
Bacardi Limon.
Hello.
If you understand.
Donna Mike show. You understand. You understand.
It's an intricate process, you understand.
Yeah, you understand. Donna Mike, you want to watch TV while you're on the air?
with the right reception, you can be amazing.
You understand.
You understand.
You understand. This is Tony Diggs.
It's Friday. It's time for Bacardi Limon. Bacardi Limon.
You understand.
You understand.
You understand. Robbie, what are you doing on the floor?
Rob seems to be having a bit of an aneurysm right now. You're laughing his head off.
You understand.
You know, it's very funny, you understand. You understand. It's so comical.
Bacardi Limon. Yeah, very nice, you understand.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, you mimic.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Hi, honey.
I was just calling from Baltimore.
Right, hi.
Yeah, honey.
Yeah, and that being said, I just wanted to say that I was happy to hear that one of the calls that I had made to your show before, I had made your best of show.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, don't feel flattered.
You'd be very congratulated.
Don't feel flattered because
No, it's an honor and a privilege.
Well, the truth is, it's kind of an oxymoron. A best of on this show.
But she should be honored to hear herself through the magic of audio tape.
In many ways, it will, go burn the CD.
You understand. You understand.
That's right. CD technology now has permeated the best of program.
Whether it be a WAV-filed MP3.
That's wonderful. Let me test it and see if it's working okay.
How's the fidelity?
You are good to go.
Bacardi Limon.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you anyway?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I am.
Hope you liked it. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, my friend.
Hi. Hello, my friend.
How are you, my friend?
Hello, my friend.
I love the show. I have just one piece of creative feedback.
Sure.
You love that.
Wait, hold on.
Really?
Wait, no. We record all the feedback that we get. So we get, okay, you get constructive criticism. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I could really...
Okay. Sorry, we're petty like that. Listen, when you're doing a perfect show every single day...
If you get one of those in a phone scam, my life truly is complete.
When you do a perfect show every day, frankly, we won't hear this petty criticism.
Right? Hold on, we're recording it.
Hello, Don and Mike. Tool. Dumb tool. They're recording my criticism.
So, hey, honey, get into the room.
Finally.
What a foolish thing that was. Hey, honey, get into the room. Like that happened.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well.
Good. We just recently got you guys back on over here in California, and you guys started at 12, but unfortunately they cut you guys off in the last hour.
Yeah, that's happening in some of our affiliates. What town in California?
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, you know, eventually that'll either be fixed or they'll cancel our show. Thank you.
Oh, that sucks.
That was a good reaction.
Yeah. I know how that sucks. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Phone scam.
Hey.
Hey,
this is Alan Thicke update.
Okay.
I called the number.
Oh, right, hold on. Excuse me.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
Thank you, Alan Thicke. All right, so you called the line he was hawking yesterday?
I called that line, and I was one of the 100. And like that guy said yesterday, and they said they were going to call me back.
Uh-huh.
And they took all my information. They called me back today, and some goober calls me. And it's called the second honeymoon. Like, Alan Thicke didn't even say this. Supposedly it's just for, like, married people. So, like, I lied. I said, yeah, I'm married. So the guy's giving me the spiel. It's like I had a choice between 4 days and 4 nights at one of these four casinos. I've been to Vegas a dozen times.
Giving you the spiel.
One of these places.
Did you hear that? S-P-E-E-L?
Spiel is opposed to spiel.
Anyway, Spielberg. Anyway, what's the end of this? Sorry. I just actually banged the
clock.
How
does it end?
Yeah, what are they doing? What's the deal?
You got to give them your credit card. And if you don't go with the timeshare, then they charge your credit card for the hotel room.
Oh, dear. Timeshare.
Hold on. Good morning. Let me get to the point of the story.
They charge your credit. They ask for your credit card number.
They ask for your credit card number.
Well, Jesus, you didn't give it to him.
No.
You mean you can't trust TV's Alan Thicke?
Obviously not. And it was pretty funny because the guy on the phone, he said, "Where did you hear about this? You heard about this from Alan Thicke?" And I was like, "Well, yes, sir, I did." And he goes, "And he didn't say anything about the second honeymoon part."
Tax detector.
Okay, I don't know.
I think the guy's full of it.
You might be right. I think it might be true. Listen. No offense to Alan Thicke.
Uh-huh.
When he was on yesterday, it sounded like a timeshare scam to me.
According to our caller ID, that call came from within the radio station.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Or not timeshare, but just one of those deals like fly to Vegas, everything included for $39.
Right. Yeah, but then you'll have to go to, like, meetings.
No, he was going to fly people out to audition to be on the reality show.
Although, God.
And the guy was saying free. I think that guy was making that up.
Who was I talking to? My friend Tom, the doctor. My friend.
How's Tom?
He's doing great, and we saw him at the Redskins game over the weekend, the Packers game, and he was telling us about some sweet deal he's got somewhere with one of these things where you fly, like, to the Bahamas or Jamaica or something, and all you really have to do is invest 2 hours to sit through their crappy, do you want to buy this thing?
Oh, yeah.
And then you say no. But you're there still on their dime.
Absolutely.
for the whole weekend.
That's, that's an old bit.
And then all you have to do is bring one package back through customs.
That's fair. And it comes in a balloon.
It does.
Swallow
this.
And, you know, I kept saying to Tom, but I don't understand. How do you get a mule through customs?
It's not a balloon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Above
I
don't even know I hung up on that guy.
I'm sorry, I don't understand you, sir.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, God, hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, it's after 6 o'clock.
Two in a row.
I'm pissed at one of your advertisers.
Well, that's great, Dennis. Who are you pissed at?
eHarmony.com.
Why, did you go on eHarmony.com?
I registered, and I have 22 rejections so far.
Dennis, I'm going to give Dennis and Kirby a round of applause, because Dennis has made me laugh on this Friday phone.
I find that hard to believe.
I took a picture when I was in California in front of the Spike TV sign,
yeah.
And I thought it was like, hopefully getting
a date. Yeah, I would think, no offense, Dennis, I would think probably going pictureless would be the best way for you to meet more girls.
Dennis, I wouldn't get depressed with 22 rejections until maybe there's a zero on the end of that number. That's when I'd start getting concerned.
No, but the thing is...
No.
The thing is, I had to cut him off.
Yeah,
that's one of our rules with him. He's not allowed to say the thing is.
Yes, absolutely.
I was really willing to guess the client he was upset. Something to do with tooth whitening.
Hello, Don. Hello. Hello, phone scan.
Hey, Philip, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well, thank you.
Hey, I'm wasting my time here in traffic right now, and I just wanted to thank you for wasting your time with me.
Hold on, you're getting drowned out there.
Hey, but you're not really wasting your time.
Oh, no, you're the big wiener.
Am I the big wiener?
Yes, you're the last person on this phone scan. Where in God's name are you driving, sir?
Oh, man, I am on 66 in Northern Virginia, and have you driven on that road before?
Is 66, are you on 66 West?
Have I ever driven on that road before? I've heard of that parking lot, bro. Yes.
This is selfish time for me. Where on 66 West are you?
I am passing Route 50 right about now.
And it's horrible?
It's horrible.
Like, you're surprised with this?
No?
No, but, you're a form of entertainment, so it gets by.
All right, well, thank you for that. Listen, before you take someone out, let me tell you that for being on the phone scan, you've got the Lord of the Rings box set on DVD.
Excellent.
Catch the broadcast premiere of the first of the trilogy, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, at Sunday and Monday night at 8, exclusively on the WB. And thank you for listening.
Well, thank you.
Okay, hold on a second. See, we made it through that phone scam.
I thought that was great.
Absolutely. Well,
I mean, it was better than I thought.
Thank you.
I was happy with that.
Thank you to our callers.
Dennis Murphy has 22 rejections.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
What are you still doing there?
We put you on hold.
I guess not.
Okay, say goodbye to that prize.
No, he's just waiting. It's not his fault at all.
I'm kidding.
He's okay.
Hold on for your prize, please.
Did you hang up on him?
No.
You did.
No, I didn't.
No, I'm still here.
He's still here. We're having trouble putting him on hold.
Perhaps a malfunction with the touch screen.
You understand.
Unfortunately, he came up on the short end of the stick.
You understand. I'm having a problem putting the call on hold. We leave the call on the line. You understand.
Yes, you understand. We'll do that and make sure she checks in. The producer checks in with him if she's not emailing Puck.
Do you enjoy the Buzz News?
Yes.
Sir?
Hello.
Do you? Forget it.
Never mind. No. I'm just going to turn it off. He's still there.
Right.
You
somewhere.
Just don't hear him. See,
Oh, I'm still here.
say something else.
Hello.
See, but now I just turned him off. Yeah. I didn't hang up on him as I often
still
do.
Still on
see,
the line.
He's still there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
you want to talk to Buzz?
In a world where on the radio was strictly forbidden,
did you just say excellent? He's partly here.
Way he did. To bring good news to his people.
Buzz. Me.
He made it up.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Do you want to talk? Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can now.
Okay. Do you want to talk to Buzz?
Sure, why not?
Buzz, what is your least story on the distant comments tonight? This guy's like the biggest albatross in the history of the world.
Today,
he's dragging us 20,000 leagues below the radio sea.
Well, today, our headline, as it turns out, money does buy happiness after all.
Oh.
Your thoughts, man who refuses to be put on hold?
Hello?
Stay tuned.
Perfect.
For news and comments.
Brilliant.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Still can't believe
a good guy. Why don't you throw my line to him, see if he picks it up.
Not a chance. I'll bet you right now $20.
I'm not betting that. I'm not taking that bet.
Sir,
I am here.
This whole segment was very...
professional.
Yeah! I would have won $20.
You would have. Oh, what am I saying? Hold on. Stay on the line until we get to the phone.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Just think of all the good they've done.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
So what a crazy moment during the commercials when at the same time the hotline rang, which is normally Frieda calls me during the commercials,
right.
And my cell phone rang at the same time. And now there's a big rule. You know, don't call on my cell phone when I'm at work, even though I have the phone turned on when I'm at work.
Right.
Anybody that knows me knows you don't call during the show on the cell phone.
Right.
So Rob and I are both just staring at the two phones ringing,
mm-hmm.
not doing anything. I said, how could this be? And you know what, Buzz?
Why?
My wife was on the hotline, and on the cell phone was your wife, Marcia.
Again. And you both have a cold at the same time.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
That's what she called. Just to commiserate. So, hi, baby. I just want to say that I'm glad to supply what Buzz cannot supply. How nice it is for me to turn around the tables
yes.
sometimes. There is a woman out there who needs something that you're not providing, and that would be the comfort of sharing the same malady that I have.
We've talked for years about a trade.
Yes, a weekend of swapping germs.
She's sick, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all Buzz's fault.
Yeah, everything is.
News and comment brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good. Smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, a revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that your wife was ill. Normally, if you had good news like that, you'd run it.
I told you that already.
I'm kidding. I know. I know you told me. I just wanted to say you'd run in screaming.
Luckily, none of this affects your balance.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen.
It's going to be a long weekend.
Yeah, no ice, though.
Oh, good heavens.
Anyway, I hope your wife feels better.
Thank you. And
just a couple of more months to those icy sidewalks, Buzz.
And I'm sure that my wife hopes I feel better.
I'm sure she does.
I don't think so. Anyway, what you got today, Buzz?
I'll tell you. Money does buy happiness, according to a new study. A new survey shows that the people happiest about their lives are pulling down over $150,000 a year. And the people least happy about their lives are scraping together about $15,000 a year or less. But the Australian researchers say they were unable to determine the happiness quotient for people, even high rollers, who carry a credit card balance.
I know Mike's about it has half as happy as he was a couple years ago.
Be that as it may.
The author of the study says the kind of debt you carry and your income level are critical to how you feel. He also found the obvious.
Gee, no S, Sherlock.
Oh, even more obvious than that, an extra $15,000 to a low-income family means a lot more than an extra $80,000 for a high-income family.
No, we're having to do some type of survey to find this information out?
Well, these are things we always suspected, but it's been confirmed now with an actual study, an actual scientific study on the subject.
Ah, the roller coaster of life, gentlemen.
Yes. They could have asked me about that.
Uh-huh.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been high bankruptcy. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been evicted.
I've lived on the floor of an empty apartment.
I have.
Yeah, I know.
In another related study, fire is hot.
Fire is very hot.
And ice is cold.
Yes.
Can you be cold, Batman?
Now, here it is, 3 days after the presidential election, and the value of the U.S. dollar in Europe has dropped like a rock. The value of the dollar against the euro has dropped to a record low. That's not so much of a political statement as it is an economic one. Europeans believe the re-election of George Bush means the continuation of an expensive war. They believe he may launch other wars in other countries. They've seen the U.S. budget go from a surplus to a huge deficit since Bush first took office. They've seen our trade deficit increase as well. So as economists, European money men have weakened the value of the U.S. dollar overseas.
I earned political capital.
Yes.
And now I intend to spend it.
I'm telling you, is he wound up?
Oh, yeah. He's ready to charge.
I mentioned the news conference yesterday, but even when he was getting on the helicopter to go to Camp David with Laura, he was doing the whole waving, I've been given the job. He's so happy that he won.
Well, I just want to tell everybody I will not be buying one of those don't blame me bumper stickers.
I'm not going to do that.
No, good for you.
Whenever the time comes when they're all out there, you know, in about a month or so.
And the thing that I love about him is the look on his face. Because the look on his face, on one hand, he's giving out a confident, almost cocky swagger.
And you want a little of that.
But on the other hand, there's the part of him that I track with the most, which is just like when he looks up, he has a wide-eyed look at his face. He's like, do you believe I really won again?
How about this?
Yeah, which is fueling the other. He's almost like Two-Face.
Yeah.
He's got the one side of his face.
I'm
like,
swagger, but
I got the job.
What am I going to do?
And, I might as well mention everybody's wife. Your wife.
Yes.
Your wife, Carrie.
Carrie, my wife.
Mm-hmm. She sent my wife maybe the funniest email that I've ever seen.
The monkey one?
Yes.
Really?
Great.
Listen, you have to ask Carrie where she got it so people can go and find it.
I don't know. You know, John Norman sent it to us.
Well, here's the thing. It's a picture. It's a montage. It's about 45 pictures of George Bush. And next to each picture is a monkey making the exact same face.
It's impossible.
The monkeys have the same faraway look in their eyes. I mean, it's like 45 things.
It's really chilling. And the greatest thing is in the bottom right, it says, it's just a picture of Bush, and it says, sorry, but try as I might, couldn't find a monkey to make a face this stupid.
And the best one is, it's a picture of him when he was in college playing baseball.
Yep.
So it's Bush in his baseball uniform, and then it's a monkey wearing a baseball uniform. And the monkey's got the exact same look on his face.
That's good.
There's not a lot of stuff that gets emailed from one person to another where you open it and actually say, okay, that's funny.
Laugh all you want.
I'd like to see that, too.
It will not change my mind. Laugh and giggle, sore losers. I will not forget the fact that I am the big W winner.
Hey, guess what? You won.
I won big time. What do I do now?
By the narrowest victory since Woodrow Wilson in 1916.
Buzz.
Since you brought it up.
Buzz, yes. Let it go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he
let
said
it go.
We're all
unified now.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Look at the monkey pictures and you'll feel better.
And laugh and feel better.
Right.
Right.
Airlines are teetering on the brink of bankruptcy and the cost of flying keeps going up. It started with the terrorist attacks. After that, the war in Iraq, fuel prices started going up. Now, the problem is fat people.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
A new government study says airlines are increasingly worried about the size of not just the suitcases, but the passengers. Those extra pounds add up when 200 people are on board. If they're each 25 pounds overweight, that's an extra 5,000 pounds. And because they wear larger clothes, their clothes are heavier, too. The weight of the average passenger went up 10...
Do not drink any alcoholic beverages. Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat.
Before you get on a plane.
Do not eat fried foods. Uh-huh. Do not eat bread. Do not eat bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruits other than grapes or cantaloupe.
That's the
do
new Delta takeoff video.
Or macaroni of any kind. Do not eat pizza.
Do not eat pizza.
Do not eat popcorn, potato chips, or pretzels.
Hey.
Do not eat puddings or custards.
Custard.
Do not eat ice cream, frozen custard, or frozen yogurt.
Anyway, she goes on to say, you know, fasten your seatbelts.
And Delta always starts to cry.
Thanks for flying Delta.
The weight of the average passenger went up 10 pounds in the 1990s. That caused the airlines to burn, get this, listen to these figures. That 10 pounds we gained, we each gained, 350 million more gallons of fuel.
Now, here's where it doesn't make sense.
Which cost $275 million, and that pumped nearly 4 million extra tons of carbon dioxide into the air.
A 747 757 jet,
right,
weighs 880,000 pounds before you put one person or one piece of baggage in it.
Okay.
On the average airplane, let's say you got 400 people. Let's say that every single person is 10 pounds, 20 pounds overweight, 30 pounds overweight. You come up with maybe 12,000 extra pounds.
Mm-hmm.
12,000 added on to 880,000 pounds already.
I think it's a scam by the oil companies.
We're
lucky they got off the ground.
You bet your ass it is.
This is
no
why,
pun intended.
This is why all flights now are carrying helium balloons.
That's a good idea.
Hey, we're flying. Hey, this is great.
And from our Homeland Insecurity Department, a National Guard F-16 fighter jet fired 25 rounds of ammo into an elementary school in the United States yesterday.
I saw this last night on the news. That's not funny. It happened tonight.
He was celebrating my victory.
Yeah, fortunately, it was well after school, and
I think
got...
it's this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way.
No! Wow!
You shot at the school.
Fortunately, nobody got hurt. They missed the janitor. He said it sounded like someone was running across the roof. That roof now has leaks, and some ceiling tiles will have to be replaced.
His name is Charles, but close friends call him Charlie, and he's behind bars.
You got Shrek 2?
The jet was on a training mission, so I suppose I'll have to have more of those.
Now, Buzz?
Yes.
I did see this on the news last night, and I hate the way that they tease it, because it was at the very beginning of the news, and they said, an F-16 fires at a school. Details come in. And I'm thinking, what the frick is going on? Then they announced,
still haven't explained it.
It was in the middle of the night, and the problem that I would bring up with this is that wherever this happened in New Jersey, we've got a military testing base where these guys fire rockets and fire their 3 miles away from school.
I know.
I mean, that ain't too bright, is it?
No, it's scary.
Shouldn't we be doing that stuff in the middle of nowhere, like Baltimore or
the middle of nowhere. Where the damage won't be noticed. The good news is that we can now apparently fly a plane using the brain of a rat stored in a Petri dish. CNN reports that in Florida, a rat's brain is successfully running a flight simulator for a fighter plane.
Hello.
Like an F-16.
There's the rat right there.
A scientist at the University of Florida is using the rat's brain as a living computer, like on Star Trek.
Hi, rat.
Hello.
A grid of 5 dozen electrodes tapping into 25,000 neurons of brain power, and damned if it doesn't work.
Hello.
The scientist says, sure, we could use it to fly planes, but he's more interested in using what he learns to cure epilepsy, another similar brain disorder.
Hello.
Obviously didn't go to the University of Florida to party. Not all the airlines are doomed, by the way. Some of the low-cost carriers have come up with some clever marketing ideas. Ireland's Ryanair, which charges passengers for food, baggage, and movies, says it will soon offer in-flight gambling.
Yes!
Quoting a Ryanair executive, it's like...
Oh, I'm on it. I'm going back to Ireland.
Like duty-free. You're in international waters.
Oh, fantastic.
He says the potential for profit is enormous.
Of course it is. Well, Let them all follow. This is exciting.
Isn't it a big enough of a gamble just flying Southwest?
It is. But who needs the peanuts? And when we come back...
Yes?
Yet another country legalizes absinthe.
Oh.
Oh, and this reminder, our big semi-quarterly, we do it every 2 months, absinthe show is next Wednesday.
I'm thirsty already.
Next Wednesday, and I think coming in besides the guy from Prague with the absinthe,
Jacob,
will be, who's the guy from Bare Naked Ladies that's coming in?
Oh, the lead singer.
Yeah, the guy.
No kidding.
Yes, he's coming in to drink absinthe and to sing Bare Naked Ladies songs.
Oh, I am so there.
It'll be great.
We'll be right back.
This. Is the Don and Mike show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike show.
Even tastier than a nice gay mocha. The Don and Mike show.
Stay tuned for Ron and Fez coming up after us on many of these Infinity broadcasting stations. And John Lennon.
Whatever gets you through the night.
I was looking at Ron Bennington a moment ago.
I thought it's Ron Bennington.
Now, Ron and Fez relocated here from New York about a year ago. They were in D.C. full time.
Yeah.
I dig the fact that Ron especially is his own guy. Fez is a Tampa Bay fan.
Right.
Ron, who knows what team Ron roots for? A team from Mars, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He doesn't wear the sports stuff. He doesn't do anything that would lead you to believe that when we were up in New York with him that he was for New York or here.
Ron plays it pretty close to the vest.
Mm-hmm. But tonight, I happened to notice, didn't mention this to him, I see him outside. He's got on, finally he has a D.C. franchise jersey on.
Yeah, and it looks good on him.
However, I mean, has anybody told Ron that there is no hockey?
He might not be aware of that.
Yeah, there's a hockey strike. I mean, I know nobody cares except...
But in a way, doesn't that make the jersey even more hip?
Maybe that's why he's wearing it.
See, that is now... Now we're getting to the point.
Yeah,
now we're
getting, coming in. He's coming
now we're
in
getting
now.
To the crux of the matter.
Yeah, we might be the first ones to let him know. I'm not sure.
All right, this is why I'm a fan.
Hold on. Look at the gay 106.7 number on it.
I like that, though.
Oh, and it says Ron. Oh!
Oh, that's
the tchotchke shirt.
I like it.
And it's a cold night. My wife is away from home. And there's a laundry backup.
He's given all the proper excuses.
But here's the thing. I've heard you many times being a DJ that wears a Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
I've heard you do the whole rap about, you know, I hate DJs that wear Hawaiian shirts.
Right.
I tell you what I hate. I hate DJs that wear sports franchise things that have not a number, but the frequency of the radio station.
I would assume. I'm just going out on a limb here.
And on the back, it just has your first name.
I would say I'm just going out on a limb. I'm going to guess that maybe he didn't pay for that.
No. Believe it or not.
Is there a matching one for Fez?
Yeah, there is.
You guys got to wear them together.
It was like last year at the start of the season when we were giving away tickets where they always bring that thing in and act like you're going to love it. We're like, yeah, thanks.
But it came in handy on a cold
night.
So
no hockey this year?
No, you're just trying to
talk. But this was our year, man. We're going places.
Our year. That's sincere.
He never wears anything. You generally don't. You know,
no,
you,
I don't.
Like the trench coat, and that's about it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the beret. I like the beret.
And the 106.7.
Yeah. I'm not ashamed. I'm flying the colors to the station.
That's good. Very good. You're a team player.
Meet the interns. You always know it's an intern when they put the bumper sticker right on the car. They're wearing the shirt.
Yeah, Brian.
They're showing up at other people's gigs.
You are full of WJFK pride,
yeah, yeah.
Ron.
I really am.
It's a great place to be, isn't it, Ron?
So where's Alan? I haven't seen him around.
You know where he's at?
What's going on?
Here comes now here comes Grizzly.
He's working on the word of the day.
Ronnie, I got your shirts back from the cleaners. Look what he's wearing on Friday.
Yeah. He's got the shorts. He looks like he should be in Tampa right now.
He's got like what? Yeah.
Tempting Hawaiian shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiian shirt Fridays. We're not doing that anymore?
That's your...
That gimmick is gone now?
How long has it been since you shaved?
3 months.
Oh, my
3
God.
Months last Monday.
God.
And it is not growing long. It is growing out. He's going to be aerodynamic pretty soon.
You got to watch for his Santa Claus impression now. Unfortunately, everybody can't see this, but
I don't care.
It's pretty damn good.
Okay, go ahead, Viz.
They're gone, Rudolph.
It's perfect.
And that's the one for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, the face is perfect. The face is perfect.
Oh, God.
Look, even with the little glasses and all, Santa glasses.
That's perfect.
Put the glasses down on the bridge of his nose.
Everyone line up. One lap, no waiting.
Would you ever consider dyeing that, very almost platinum white, you know? Could you do that? Could you get the white
Christmas
look?
For Mike. Sure, I can do that for Christmas time.
Oh, fantastic.
Sure.
Would you give us one more of the Santas?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, daughter.
That's good. Okay. That beard is awesome.
I'll do it if you show up at the Christmas party today.
Amen. We will be there.
Okay, get off our ass.
We'll be there this year.
I'll be
wearing my shirt.
That's good. Ron and Fez are coming up after us, ladies.
Wear your 106.7 shirt.
There you go.
Look, Buzz is gone. This is my time.
Oh, no. Buzz is going. He's, now that the election's over, Buzz is saying thanks for helping him fill up a segment.
Right. There they go.
Hey, Ron and Fez will be on later tonight.
They're great.
Later tonight.
In Switzerland, where absinthe was invented, they're making it legal again for the first time in over 100 years.
Bravo.
Oh,
I'll drink of that.
It was over a century ago that a Swiss factory worker, under the influence of the mystical liquor, killed his entire family.
Oh.
It's still illegal to make or sell absinthe in this country because of the green drink's reputation for driving people mad. Turns out it was a faulty distilling process, bad liquor, not the magic herbs that caused the madness.
Again, Buzz always standing up for his absinthe.
Yes, good for him. Stating the facts. Absinthe, which contains a compound similar to the active ingredient in marijuana, is made from a British garden plant and is credited with inspiring some revered writers and painters.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be drinking it by the gallon next Wednesday on the show.
And we will be inspired.
And finally...
with the Bare Naked Lady Guy.
That'll be great.
We got to find out his name, incidentally.
I know.
We shouldn't just call him Bare Naked Lady Guy.
I'm going to buy an anthology over the week.
I love Bare Naked Ladies.
Just a bone up.
And the group. Finally, they're already planning the World Testicle Cooking Championship in Serbia.
Hey, now, be careful, because they already hit the dump button on us once today, shock jock.
Oh, man, we might be in trouble then. The Serbian Tourism Board sponsors the annual event. Chefs from around the world come with recipes for bull and wild boar. Next year, though, organizers say they want recipes for kangaroo, ostrich, and camel. Quoting one official, and this is a news quote, so really shouldn't be edited.
I just want to say you're nuts.
Well, quoting one official, all testicles can be eaten except testicles. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Okay, all right.
On the Don and Mike show.
You take the phone call.
I will. Okay.
We gotta go.
I tried.
I know, we had a ball. We'll see you Monday with a new episode. Ron and Fez, obviously, are next. Have a good weekend, a safe weekend. Love you, Frida, love you, Bart. And good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
I'm going to go home and hit the sack.
We will see you on Monday, everybody.
Nuts!
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.